Spider-Man does whatever a spider can. Spins a web any size, catches thieves just like flies. Look out, here comes the Spider-Man. Is he strong? Listen, bud. He's got radioactive blood. Can he swing from a thread? Take a look overhead. Hey there, there goes the Spider-Man. In the chill of night, at the scene of a crime.
I want to cut it there.
I didn't know.
I don't know. Traditionalist. Spider-Man,
friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. Welcome fame, he's ignored. Action is his reward. To him, life is a great big bang. Wherever there's a hang, you'll find a Spider-Man.
And the fact that I thought, you know, that's enough. I looked at when I was going through YouTube. I was like, oh, it's a minute long, man. And then I realized I was like, man, it could just be cut off right there before they go into that chill of the night thing. I'm like, hey, they cut it off right there. But no, I thought, we'll keep going with it. 30 seconds is enough of that tone, that constant tone. But oh,
I don't know if I can get enough of that song, man.
Hey. I'll play it again. Not really. I can easily do it, though, because it takes nothing. Yeah, no. We don't have to do that. Oh, goodness. I hate that I didn't do this. I was going to surprise you. I have the Agility Orb sound from Crackdown.
Oh, yeah?
I was like, oh, I can play this for you. If you really like, you know, if you like that, you'll love this. You know, that thing that you hear in your sleep.
Yeah.
Or when you're just walking around, did I hear? No, I didn't hear one. But anyway, welcome to In-Game Chat. This is episode number 414. We're at 14, aren't we?
Yep.
Yeah, I get lost sometimes. Episode 14 of In-Game Chat here on 1170 WACV. Want to thank everybody for listening right here. If you're in the chat room, hello, everybody in the chat room. And everybody waves back.
Hello, chat room people.
And hello, radio people. So thanks for listening here. We're streaming to you live from WACV, or 1170 WACV.com, and we're also, of course, on the air there as well if you're listening to us through your radio. And we got a chat room set up. If you'd like to sit in on the chat room and discuss things we're talking about or whatever else may be going on, head on over to mouselook.com, and there's a link there to the chat room. There's also a link to the stream in case you get home and want to continue listening. We've got a link to the stream right there for you to jump into. This is episode 14. It is May 4th, and Spider-Man is released in theaters.
Yay!
Tonight. Today. Last night, actually. Or whatever.
It was midnight
tonight. Midnight
showing.
Yeah, it was midnight. Did anybody in this room go to that?
No.
No.
Nope.
Okay. And, no. I look over at Zilla in the booth, and I was like, oh, no. No way. She didn't go. I didn't get to go either. It's one of the first times I've actually not gone to a midnight on one of these big, big openings.
Really?
Yeah, man, I couldn't do
it. I'm not a big fan of the midnight show.
Oh, I'm a big fan. Big fan. I'm a big fan of seeing it first. I mean, you know. But
I aim more for a time where there just won't be anybody else there.
Oh, you should have known me back when I used to work at the theater then. That was some good times right there, coming into those midnights that we do just for the, you know, personally for us and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those were good times. I couldn't do it this, I just couldn't put myself through it because it's a 2-hour and 40-minute film.
Is it really? I didn't realize it was so long.
Wow.
Well, it's good because it's got a lot of content to cover.
Right.
Let me check.
I mean, you got the black suit.
I'm sorry, 2 hours and 20 minutes.
Okay.
Even so.
We got the black suit and Venom. Sandman.
And
Green Goblin, too.
Yeah, Venom, Sandman, Green Goblin in there. So, and then two women he's got to deal with as well. Two suits, two women, three villains. It's lots of stuff. So 2 hours and 20 minutes. It's the longest of the three, and you know that'd be putting me at getting at home at 3 a.m. and then getting up and having to be here all day and then up until 10 o'clock tonight here. So it would have been rough. That and I'm a pansy. So. Anyway, I'll see it this weekend at some point, probably tomorrow. Are you guys going to, by the way, in the studio, I forgot to introduce everyone, we have Jeremy Straxus, or as he's known now on his 360, Straximus.
Straximus.
That's his gamer tag. He needs friends, Straximus. We've also got John here in the studio.
Good evening.
One of his...
My mic's not on.
Your what?
My mic on?
I hear
your mic's on.
It's on.
Oh, okay.
Hang on. Do it again.
Hello, hello.
There you go.
Okay.
Can you hear that?
Yeah,
now?
I can hear myself. I'm just, yeah. Yeah, it sounds
can you
different.
Hear me? I'm doing it as different. Hard as I can.
Yes.
So this is, what is this, your second to last show that you're going to be with us?
Most likely, yeah.
Yeah, we'll go into that a little bit later on. Let's head on into the newsroom there. Hey, Zilla.
Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Super.
Zilla's in here with us as well. And we've also got Dennis.
Hello.
Well, I don't know why I always... I want to call you Dan for whatever reason.
Oh, that's because that is my actual
name. That's your
name.
Little... That's your. Oh, okay, cool. Any of you guys plan on seeing it this weekend?
Maybe.
Okay.
That's the plan. I just don't know if it'll come together.
See, you saying that you'd like to go when there's hardly anybody there, not going to happen on opening weekend,
know,
no matter the time you pick
but, you know,
for a movie like this.
It's also dependent on when other people want to go see it.
Yeah.
So...
John, what about you? Will you get
it's not solely up to me.
You get a chance to?
I doubt it. I'm going to be out of town tomorrow and busy on Sunday, so probably not this weekend.
Wow.
Yeah.
Dennis?
It's been a little maybe for me as well. Just
goodness.
Depends on what's going on.
I'm not excited about it.
Yeah, I really want to see it.
It's
just,
the movie I want to see this year.
Well, what about you, Zilla?
Probably won't make it and want to see Hot Fuzz a little bit more.
Boo.
Sorry.
Oh, wow.
Boo.
You lost mic privileges.
True. I'm still overdosing from Spider-Man 2 because we went and saw that a little bit too much.
We did see that. Did we see that twice or three times?
We saw the Midnight Show. Then we saw one of the private radio station shows. Then we saw the IMAX.
Then we saw the IMAX, and we were done by that time, weren't we?
All in like a two-week period.
Yeah, it was rough. But anyway, I'm going to try and see it tomorrow. I've actually got to come to work tomorrow from 2 to 4, and then there's a 4:15 showing, so I'm probably going to head over there and see it tomorrow afternoon or something. I'm kind of at a quandary here because I bought the game. Where did it go? Oh, great. Okay, here it is. I was a little worried. I bought the game for the 360, and I'm kind of like, what? Why are you laughing at me now?
Because it's like you're showing the listeners the game.
Yeah, just waving the card.
You had to find it to hold it up.
I wanted to see it.
Well, I was like, where is it? I was looking around for it because I'm like, where did my game go? I brought it up here. So anyway, I bought it today, and I'm like, should I wait and see the movie first and then go through the game?
Because there might be spoilers or something.
Yeah,
or
they probably could.
Most of the games while they're related to the plot of the movie, have like additional stuff that has nothing to do with it.
Well, they do, but I'm sure there's something in there that's just going to...
Oh, yeah.
They'll probably mimic the opening, whatever that is, and then I'll probably wait to see it tomorrow.
Yeah.
We got plenty of other stuff to play, I can tell you that, and we'll go into that a little bit later on. Tons of people got Xboxes over the week. You know, the Elite came out, so while people were picking up Elites, they were also selling their premiums, and other people were getting on the bandwagon. We had... How many people got a 360 this week that we knew of? One, two, and then I guess if you count Neil, he would be number three. James picks up one, and so we're looking at like four people picked up an Xbox 360 just this week alone. Lots of stuff to talk about there. Let's jump right into the news, though, and I've only got one piece of news with me. I'll get to my stuff later, but who wants to go first here?
All right,
I'll throw a dart.
PlayStation 3 Home, their online network, they're apparently rolling the beta out right now. Several members of the official PlayStation forums are claiming that the option to download and launch the North American version of the Home beta has appeared in the PlayStation Store. So I look forward to hearing some about that and how people like it.
I'd like to jump into that. I never got a beta invite though. So I don't know. I'm still folding at home. Speaking of which, I have done over 100 units, work units, protein folding or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm leading the evil avatar team. So I'm ahead. I just thought I would, self-gratitude myself there, whatever. Next piece of news here. John, what do you have?
Let's see.
Dennis, what do you have?
let's see. I've got... Just interesting note here is Hironobu Sakaguchi, who's well known as being one of the executive producers of the Final Fantasy series.
Right.
Recently had a couple of comments about Sony and Microsoft.
What did he say about that? I read the headline, but I didn't read the article.
He said he wasn't a big fan of the PlayStation 3 because of the machine's architecture. He said it was tricky. And also said he didn't much care for our good friend Ken Kutagari as well.
I've heard of...
Kutaragi, I'm sorry.
It's okay. Yeah. I seem to be the only person in the room that can pronounce it.
Exactly. There was... What I noticed, I was reading in a forum where porting from the PS3 to the 360, no problem. But porting from the 360 to the PS3... A little bit difficult.
Hmm.
I don't know why that is, but you know, I don't develop. But
yeah, and he also took aim at Microsoft with their marketing in Japan.
Yeah,
just saying it was terrible. His the game his studios put out, Miss Walker Studios put out, Blue Dragon, has pretty much been the top seller.
Oh, that's the top seller for the 360 in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it'll do well over here when it's released. So.
Yeah, he's just said that their marketing is just not good at all.
So basically, what we're saying is. Americans don't get the Japanese.
Yeah, you know, probably.
He did say he found the Nintendo Wii intriguing, though. But he doesn't have any plans of making a Wii game.
Yeah, well, that's apparently nobody does, really, because there's not really any right. games out yet. But actually, there is a news story. Somebody's
yeah,
got
there's,
it.
I think I have it in
here. Yeah, and we'll get to it. About 131 developers on the Wii so far, so that's a lot of people there. Moving on, Jeremy, what do you have over there?
The Virtual Console on the Wii. Is getting its first original downloadable game instead of just a, you know, shovel port from one of their older systems.
Yeah, you actually won't be able to play this from the Virtual Console channel or the window or whatever it is. It's like something that's, I can't remember what it was, but it's going to be its own little thing.
Impossible Mission?
It's a remake of Impossible Mission from the Commodore 64, which was a fantastic game from what I've heard.
Yeah.
I didn't have a Commodore 64, but I'm familiar with the game. I've heard of it. It's
had one, did not play that
got
game.
Got a bit of a legendary status.
Oh, does it?
Yeah.
Well, you know, that may be the first game I download, then.
Yeah.
On the Wii. So let's go back to you, John, now. And now you get to tell us your news.
All right. Other Wii releases. The list that's supposed to be out in Japan by the end of this year, and I'm wondering when we're getting them.
We always wonder that, though.
Let's see.
Japan's getting this. Well, we don't know when we'll get it.
There's 13 on the list. I'm going to pick out my favorites. Mario Galaxy, Smash Brothers, Metroid Prime 3. There's another Mario Strikers. Mario and Sonic at the Olympics, which I'm wondering what that's all about.
That got announced a couple of weeks back, where they were teaming up to be...
That's a Sega title, actually.
It's a Sega title, yeah. I'm guessing it'll be released around the time of the Olympics.
I mean, is it like a, you know, a Wii Sports with Mario and Sonic?
I don't think we really have any details for that yet.
Not really. Other than the two
first
of them.
Game that the two of them appear together in.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is interesting. But yeah, so I'm wondering, you know, well, this is 2000, you know, sometime this year.
Yeah.
Japan gets them.
Well, they released a list like last week, I think, or a couple of weeks back. We did a story on that where they released their stuff. And they didn't give any dates. They just said,
yeah, it's like,
the States will get this in the fall.
Yeah, we're sometime between now and the end of time.
The fall fourth quarter. We'll see. So we don't know. What'd you got, Dennis? Anything?
Let's see. Richard Garriott's new MOG, Tabula Rasa, is announced for Tabula Rasa, Blank Slate.
Oh, okay.
I'm glad you knew that.
Wow, yeah.
Is entering its closed beta testing, and you know, Rich Garriott being creator of Ultima, and also Ultima Online, one of the first MMOGs out there. It's all to be pretty interesting to see what reports we get out of that.
I've given up on those, on the PC anyway. But yeah, no, what is it, closed or open beta?
It is closed beta.
It's closed beta, okay. That was released as well.
But it's going to be sci-fi instead of, you know, the usual medieval fantasy
right.
Genre we see.
I'll jump in on my little story here, my one piece of paper that I have, and it's of course, it's my thing. Burnout 5 got a name this week. Burnout Paradise.
Ah.
And they released screens.
You're just a little bit of a Burnout fan, aren't you?
Whoa. yeah. Man. Boy. You know, they didn't really release any new information. Some of the things, in case you didn't know about it, Burnout has always been about, Burnout's always been about menus. You've had a map, and you can select to go to different parts of the map, and that would give you different races or crash junctions and things like that. This one's going for an open world type of thing. Every inch of Paradise City, as it's called, which, I wonder if they'll license a certain song. Who knows? It's you'll be able to just basically roam around that city and go things, you know, no more menus, basically. You drive to your to where you're going to race or where you're going to use a crash junction or something like that. A trailer was released. You can find it all over YouTube. There's links in the Mouselink forums and even the Evil Avatar forums and things like that. And some of the screenshots they released were just clips from the trailers. I don't know why they called that screenshots, but it was just stills from the trailer that they released. So, again, we don't really know everything that we can about you know, the new Burnout game. It'll be released sometime later this year, so that's pretty much it. But any new information I get is always great information that I get. So we're going to come back. We're going to take a quick break here, and we'll be back with more news right here on In-Game Chat on 1170 WACV. And welcome back to In-Game Chat here on 1170 WACV. And hello to everybody again in the chat room there. They were having discussions about Spider-Man in there, weren't they?
No, they're mad at me.
They're mad at you?
Yes.
Oh, what does that stem from? Because I didn't see. I just saw them, you know.
Oh, they're upset because I booed Dana for saying that she wanted to see Hot Fuzz instead of Spider-Man 3.
Well, I do want to see both.
Hot Fuzz is an excellent, excellent film.
You've seen it?
Yes.
Oh, okay, cool.
How far did you have to drive?
I was just participating in the traditional fanboy shunning of anyone who wants to see something more than what I want to see.
Right.
I mean, you know. Come on.
Your movie is Tessexors.
And I asked her.
My movie is the Rocksaurus. Yours is the Sexaurus.
Well, you know what? I don't think Hot Fuzz is. I don't think it's bad at all. But no, I'll go see Spider-Man 3, and then I'll go see Hot Fuzz. I'll eventually see Hot Fuzz.
You could make it a double feature.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah,
probably. I could probably go. Yeah, you know, maybe I'll do that tomorrow. I don't know. I don't know. Well, too many people have 360s now, and there's lots of playtime to get in.
There is lots of playtime.
That's
well,
that's
actually, the problem is there isn't enough playtime, and there's too much to play.
Yeah, that's what we'll get into. But anyway, let's jump right back into the news and avoid the arguing about what's going on in the chat room. But that's okay. I mean, I want to see both. I wouldn't boo her, but you know.
It was a joke.
Yeah, I know.
Come on.
Let's go right into you then. What do you have? What's on your plate there of news?
On my plate.
You have a lot, I know.
There's a ton here, man. And I can't hear myself too well in these things. You pop me up a little bit. All right.
Does that work?
I don't know.
My ears are bleeding right now.
Are they? It must just be. I don't know. You can pop me back down then.
Well, whatever.
It's not helping me any. Anyway, so a couple weeks ago, Dell announced that they were going to start. Including Linux.
I'm glad you saw that.
Selling Linux as well as...
you know, when I put it in the link dump, I wanted to be like, hey, Strax, look at this. But I didn't, but I'm glad you saw that. I'm glad you saw that there.
Well, they've decided what distribution they're going to go with. And they're going to be installing Ubuntu as an option. And that's a pretty big deal. And apparently, from what I heard, somebody was checking out Michael Dell's profile on the forums. And it, you know, showed the software that was installed on his computer, and one of the things was he was running the new Ubuntu release, 7.04. So, I mean, that's really good. It's a really good Linux distribution for people that are wanting to try it out and new to it. It has a lot of good hardware support, a lot of easy-to-use stuff. I mean, it's a big learning curve.
Yeah.
If you're coming from having used Windows.
I watch you use it, and I was like, wow. I mean, it looks like something I'd want to, you know, get to know better. Yeah. In a sense, but then I'm also thinking, I don't know. PCs, you know, getting, you know, I'll get a Mac or I'll use WinXP. I don't, you know, for me personally, and I guess I could be a casual PC user now, not really interested. However, if it comes pre-installed,
yeah,
not a bad thing.
I mean, that's, you know, it's funny, one of the things that you see the flame wars go on between Windows users and Linux users and Mac users, and one of the things they always say about Linux is, well, it won't set up. It doesn't support my hardware. And, you know, well, to be perfectly honest, if you tried installing XP on your machine, you'd also have to go hunt down a bunch of drivers,
right,
which you might not be able to find. The thing is, most computers come with it set up already. So if you're buying a laptop or a PC that already has Linux set up, you know, there's the biggest obstacle overcome right there. You know, yeah, it works with the hardware that you have.
Ubuntu is also one of the best distributions I've ever seen as far as having hardware support in the installation. I mean, there have been a few systems that I've seen that it won't that you can't just boot the installation CD and install the system and everything runs fine.
Mm-hmm.
It's just some older hardware and some more obscure pieces of hardware that it doesn't have support for.
Oh, cool. So that's obviously a nice little move on Dell's part there. So to kind of break away from that.
Yeah.
Do they get paid? Do companies get paid from like Microsoft to like use their product in their computers and that sort of thing?
No, they have to pay Microsoft.
They pay Microsoft. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I was just wondering. All right. Next.
I'm a Wii guy tonight, apparently.
Well, you are. You did
get
a Wii.
But that's because, yeah, that's...
You got a Wii. See, we were going to talk about that last week.
Right, but I wasn't here. But yeah, so here we go. So I can say that I will be one of 14 million Wiis sold by March of 2008, which is the number that Nintendo says that they're expecting. 14 million.
Wow, that's
by,
a lot.
By March of next year, yeah.
That's huge.
And this is from Joystick, and of course, the first comment. Their prediction is probably based on having released Smash Brothers before March 08. So we'll see.
People interested in that, you know?
So we'll see if that actually happens. But yeah, I got my Wii, and I have I've played a bit.
What have you played?
I got when I bought it, I got sports, of course, and Wii Play because it came with the extra remote.
Right.
And, you know, because mini games and
you
party
didn't get
games
to live through that period when there weren't remotes sitting around right on shelves and stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, I could find pretty much anything I want right now, which is amazing. But then I also got Twilight Princess, which I'm about 10 hours into. And lately I picked up Rampage, and I haven't gotten a chance to play it yet.
Yeah, a chance to play that yet, okay.
But I'm hoping it's going to be fun
because
it's Rampage.
Yeah, of course.
If they didn't screw it up too much, it'll be all right.
You know, we were talking about Spider-Man. That has some interesting controls for the Wii.
Really?
Now, your city obviously is cut down a little bit because you can't. There's
what right, just hardware concerns.
It's a really giant representation of New York as far as the 360 and the PS3 concerned.
Yeah.
The Wii they cut down on. However, you get different controls. Your web shooters are the nunchuck and the remote.
So do you actually do this?
I'm not sure.
For the listeners at home, I'm doing this motion.
You know, slinging your wrist.
You know, like you would the thing that you see the guy do on the commercial when he's holding them. Yeah.
I webbed you. That means you get the apartment. I don't know if anybody saw that commercial. It's a funny one. It's something like that,
okay.
But I don't know. It's something. It's definitely a rental, just to see
just
those
to
controls.
See if it works, yeah.
Exactly. Like if I was Superman, would I just have to hold my hands out and
right
be able to fly? That would get tiring for a while.
You go faster if you put one hand behind your back.
Or is that how you turn?
Right, right.
So anyway, that's cool stuff there. Dennis, on to you.
We have the first band named for Guitar Hero 3.
I want to talk about that. Go ahead. Tell
Queens me of the Stone Age.
Okay. In that article, I just read it just a few minutes ago, actually. So I know this, but in that article, Queens of the Stone Age named for Guitar Hero 3. They're also going to be in Rock Band. However, Queens of the Stone Age was also in Guitar Hero 1.
Yes.
They also named. Can I see that article real
absolutely
quick? Just before, because I'm going to get some of these. I won't remember some of them. The Allman Brothers, Joan Jett, Kansas Nirvana, and Wolf Mother. They've all been confirmed for Rock Band. However, those are also in Guitar Hero and Guitar Hero 2. I'm wondering if they're just dipping into their licenses.
Could be. It just could be
a
bad thing.
Hopefully
but
they're not just reusing the same songs, at least.
I don't know. I'm just saying, the artists that they've listed here for who have been confirmed for Rock Band, they've already used. I'm not saying...
Right.
Now, the songs they have, you know,
right,
they haven't said what songs are going to be used. But they've already been used for Guitar Hero and Guitar Hero 2, and I'm just kind of wondering if they're just dipping back into that, which is fine because there's so many more elements that Rock Band is going to use.
Right, and lots of people probably want to sing those songs too or play drums on them.
Man, if I never have to hear Joan Jett again, that first song on Guitar Hero 1 that you play, I Love Rock and Roll,
but you shouldn't. That one was easy. You shouldn't have had to hear that one too much.
I heard it plenty. That was the first time we'd ever played that.
Right.
It was the first time you'd ever used the guitar controller.
Mm-hmm.
It was the first song that you ever played, and everybody thought, well, the first song, it's got to be the easiest, which it was.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the one you always started out on.
Mother was pretty easy, too.
If I wanted to, when I was playing Guitar Hero, and I'd come home after work or whatever,
mm-hmm,
and I'd want to get into it, I'd start again on Joan Jett just to get the finger work just going, and then jump back into it, you know? So, yeah, I've heard that enough. I don't need to hear it sung. I don't need to hear the drum part. I don't need to hear any other part of that song. It's good enough for me. So what else? Let's say back to you, Jeremy.
GameTap's going to start offering a free service in addition to their subscription service. On their subscription service, which is remaining the same, it's not changing, they still have 180 games. But on the free service, there's going to be about 30 to 60 games that people can access and play, and they'll be in constant rotation. So it sounds like a pretty cool way to go ahead and, you know, try out their service.
Yeah, which you still won't, but...
just not... Not appealing to me.
You know what?
There's plenty of people out there who,
depending on what they're putting
like
up there, I might consider playing them for free.
They're getting the Tomb Raider Anniversary, the game that's going to be out for the PS2. They're getting it. GameTap's getting it as well.
Has anyone in this room used GameTap at all, or seen it, or
I've never
seen
used it
used? Have any idea what kind of software you have to use to play their games, or if it's just through a web page? Or
nope.
Okay.
Not a clue.
I know it's not just through a web page. Some
it's
of
not,
those games absolutely positively would not.
Yeah, I mean, you can't do it through a Flash player or anything like that. So
you could. It'd just be looking. I'm sure there's versions of these games in Flash, but they're horrible. but yeah. So GameTap, it's something I'm interested in, only for the fact that they had one of the missed games, Uru, I believe. And I was really interested in that. But I was giving them hope a couple of episodes back. I was talking about, GameTap might try it, that sort of thing, because of also Sam and Max. Because they had that. But now that all this stuff's coming over to the console, Sam and Max is going to be on Xbox Live Arcade or going to get a retail release, whatever the case. I don't know. GameTap can do its thing, and for the people that are using it, go for it. I just don't think it's not going to pull me in. Even if they offer it free, it's still not going to pull me in. Again, it goes back to the fact that we've got people on the 360 now and, gaming with my buddies again, which I wasn't able to do.
Yeah, so, man.
That's the thing. Is there? Yeah, you, John.
Oh, news? All right.
I don't have it. Nobody gave me any news other than the burnout story. That's all I had, so I've got to,
Okay, next thing on my stack. Headline, man tries to steal PS3 but gets Xbox 360 instead.
Yeah, that happened over in...
This is in the UK,
in England. He walked in and he's like...
He walks into a Blockbuster, asked for a PS3 at gunpoint, which I didn't think they had guns in the UK, but apparently they do. And he asked for a PS3 and got a 360 instead, because they were out of PS3s at the time.
That probably took some guts for that clerk to be like, at gunpoint,
sorry,
sir, we're out.
We're out. That's kind of strange.
And so I guess he had to sit there and think, give me a 360.
Right.
You got any of them Wii's?
Yeah. Well, no.
Because that's the best UK... accent that I can do.
A UK accent?
Well,
apparently so.
The strange thing is hearing of a place that didn't have PS3s but did have 360s, because every store I go into around here.
And since when did Blockbuster sell consoles?
Well, I think it was one of the ones they rented.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, he wanted to get me a rental for.
Right.
Well, it's broke and it's got dog pee on it, but here you go.
You might find some roaches. Was that? Not with that accent.
Then he gets home with a 360 and gets the Red Rings of Death.
Right.
Takes it back. I want my money back. Well, I didn't give you money in the first place. Give me an old Xbox. Give me a VCR.
Yeah, and with the way these things are always on the internet and stuff like that. I mean, is there a way if your system gets stolen to call Microsoft and tell them to deactivate it?
I don't think so.
They won't do that.
Yeah, there's no way to do that.
Somebody tried actually.
Oh, really?
Did they?
Yeah, they tried to like ask Microsoft to help them, in tracking down the person that stole their Xbox.
They couldn't do it. Yeah.
Well,
you could just pick a random serial number and
find someone's house who had an Xbox.
You kind of need to get the police involved
right.
in that investigation, and hopefully they could contact Microsoft and get some cooperation, but that's not the route that particular person chose, so I don't understand why that didn't work.
Well, we got to jump into a commercial break real quick. We got Fox News coming up here in a bit, but anyway, we got to jump into the commercial break, and we'll be back with more of In-Game Chat here on 1170 WACV. Welcome back to In-Game Chat, and apparently this song has become... It is to our theme choices, as Crackdown was a while back to us just mentioning it all the time. Oh, goodness. Welcome back to In-Game Chat on 1170 WACV, and this is our first hour. We're going into news. We got stuff coming up in our second hour. It's more news, but we're more focused on what we got there as far as... We got some stories. We're going to talk about E3, and we'll talk about... PAX as well. Got some news on PAX also, and some other news. There was a goat that died over the weekend that we'll talk about as well.
Oh, man.
Yeah, we'll get into that. But anyway, we're still doing the weekly news here. What do you have, Jeremy? What's yours?
All right. There's a new development studio which is basically made up of former MMO game designers
from
World of Warcraft, EVE Online, and EverQuest. Dark Age of Camelot, City of Heroes, Lord of the Rings Online, Ultima Online. But yeah, they formed a new studio, and they're making a new massive multiplayer online game. And they say that, you know, since they've all had experience developing and launching MMOs before, they know where the pitfalls are, they know how to steer clear of them, where the bumps in the road are. And here's a quote. They plan to breathe new life into what is often described as a somewhat stagnant, increasingly generic genre. And they say their first project will be based on an original intellectual property and will feature a dynamic living world which won't be developed as a safe MMO, meaning it won't be a World of Warcraft clone with a new IP skin. Which is really good news, because most people that set out to make an MMO these days just try to clone World of Warcraft, thinking that they can cash in on its success. And
exactly.
Can't.
But why? Yeah.
Can't
how? No.
World of Warcraft.
Because there's World of Warcraft.
Yeah,
because
it's the world is the thing.
Yeah. I mean, World of Warcraft already exists. Trying to make a clone of that, I don't understand.
It wasn't just the gameplay. It was also the established intellectual property behind it that kind of fueled its success.
You know, there's no point in trying to ride the coattails.
And you'd have to pour millions and millions and millions.
We talked about that,
dollars.
Yeah. Exactly. Trying to do it in a shorter time frame with less amount of money is not going to work for you. Mm-mm. So it's just best to do your own thing, and I'm glad those guys are doing it. So
I mean, they poured in over $1 billion into WoW, didn't they? Yeah. I mean,
they got credit cards. Did you see that?
Do what? Oh, yeah.
World of Warcraft.
World of Warcraft got their own credit, their own Visa. Was it just Visa that they did a deal with?
I believe it was Visa. Give me
that. So, and I don't know if there's any, like, special deals that you get when you use your...
You get... 1% goes towards your World of Warcraft account. So
1% of everything you spend?
Yes.
Oh.
So basically, in order to get a month's worth, is something like, what would that be?
$1,500 to get a month.
What's that?
$1,500. You spend $1,500 and you get a month of World of Warcraft.
Wow. Wow. Okay.
Oh, too bad you can't option it to go like towards your in-game currency or something.
And I'm assuming that you know, would have your World of Warcraft account charged to the same card. So.
Probably so.
They just, you know.
That's a good idea.
It's a good little circular flow for them there.
Yeah. All right, John, what do you have?
I have what was supposed to be Nintendo releasing a Wii Blaster, and is apparently not now. There was a product thing on GameStop's page, and a couple of the blogs went kind of wild about it, that there was going to be, that Nintendo was making a blaster for the Wii.
Right.
Which would make sense.
We saw a prototype at E3.
Right. They did have a prototype at E3, right. But apparently what's going to be on sale pretty soon is a third-party thing that's a lot like the steering wheels and other little things where you just sort of snap the Wiimote into it, and it's not actually a separate thing. So...
Well, that's what the prototype they showed was.
Yeah.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Well, great. But no, but this is not Nintendo's, apparently. It's
a third party.
Yeah,
deal.
Which I can't find out who it is.
Not really too
worried
about it.
I mean, yeah, it's going to be, you know, Mad Catz or Pelican or something.
That's fine.
Oh, Core Gamer.
Yeah.
Is who's really
Nico? I'm not sure.
Nico.
Nico.
They did, and we talked about this... They did what a lot of people wish Nintendo would have done. They made a rechargeable pack that plugs into your remote and then has a recharge station that it sits on. And it's got a rubber grip on it, on the thing as well. You know, so third parties can do some really cool stuff.
Yeah, and it's interesting that they're able to charge it from the port on the bottom of the controller, too. Doesn't it just sort of sticks down there?
Yeah, kind of like you said, a cell phone or a cordless phone into a little charger.
So obviously the capability is there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's built into the thing.
Which I'm surprised they didn't do that to begin with.
Yeah, why doesn't Nintendo sell their own? But, so. No.
Yeah, Dennis, you're next.
We have some details on the BioShock Limited Edition.
Well, there were some things we already knew, and I knew GameStop and EB stores were going to be getting that exclusively, and there was an explanation for that.
We do have where the limited edition will be both PC and Xbox 360.
Right.
It will come in with a behind-the-scenes DVD, a soundtrack, embossed cover art, which will be determined by a cover art contest they're running.
That's right. And they're really getting the users involved in this thing, which is kind
of
nice.
Yeah. And also a figurine of one of the enemies in the game, the Big Daddies.
Oh, yeah, the little figurines. That's a limited edition I'd pick up.
Yeah, it's about $10 more than your regular version.
Yeah, and you're getting all that stuff with it, too. Yeah, it's so that's good. You know how much the Spider-Man 3, again, we're going back to that. Spider-Man 3 for the PS3 has a collector's edition that is $10 more. You get a few little behind the scene things on like some of the actors talking about the game, and then the only other thing you get is to play as Green Goblin throughout the entire game using the 6-axis motion controls for $10 extra. Not worth it for me though. Then again, of course, buying the PS3,
yeah,
you have
that's
to do
the thing
that.
Right there.
$660 there, so around $700. Jeremy, your turn.
The spring update for the 360 that's coming down is going to clamp down on a practice that people have been using where they create an
there
Xbox Live account.
There goes my German account.
Yeah. They create an Xbox Live account with a different country from what they actually live in that gives them access to the content that's only been released in that country.
So long, Gunter.
It's been a pretty popular practice overseas to create like a U.S. account and download TV shows that are only available to U.S. customers. And they're patching that so that people won't be able to do that anymore.
I used it to download the R6 Vegas demo.
Yeah.
In the States, the official Xbox magazine had a deal with Microsoft and said that we're going to put the demo on our disc. And once the magazine hits shelves, you can put it out on your marketplace like 2 weeks later. But we get exclusive first dibs on that thing. However, Japan or Germany or whatever, overseas, no problem. They already had it. If you had one of those accounts, you could go ahead and download it. So I went ahead and created a German account, I think it was. So.
Well, I guess for the people who were wanting to watch those U.S. TV shows, they'll have to, you know, since they can't pay for them anymore, they'll have to go back to the Pirate Bay to watch U.S. shows.
It's forcing, forcing people to get it for free.
Which, by the way, the Pirate Bay is being sued.
Are they?
Have you heard about
surprise.
That? Yeah, they're being sued in Sweden, where they're based. And
by whom?
Prosecutor, I know I'm not going to pronounce this guy's name. I don't know what an O with what an A with a circle over it sounds like. So Hakan Roswall,
probably Sweden or something.
It's Swedish. But yeah, he says he intends to press charges against the admins of the Pirate Bay.
Bjorn.
Tobias Anderson from the Pirate Bay was not impressed by Roswell's statements and said that they will simply move to another country if they are outlawed in Sweden without downtime.
That's kind of how it works for them.
Wow.
But they said they pretty much expected it because the Swedish police in that big raid a while back confiscated 180 servers. Three admins were held in custody for a few hours, but they were only down for a couple of days before they were back up. And so...
But that's always what happens.
Right.
You know.
Well, yeah, they say that, you know, it would look kind of bad if they didn't prosecute them since they had 20 to 30 police officers involved.
One gets stopped, another one, you know, pops
up
somewhere else.
A big deal over there is that there was a big controversy about it because several sources reported that the MPAA initiated the attack by directly influencing the Ministry of Justice to intervene in the case, which is illegal in Sweden.
Yeah.
Right. So. Well, that's an interesting allegation considering, you know, there's probably not a whole lot of Swedish content that's being, I would imagine, anyway. I mean, no sliding to, you know, our friends in Sweden. But
right.
The majority of the content that I see on, if I were to be on sites like this, is American content. Or, I mean, or British. Or, I mean, you know.
Have you ever entered any Swedish keyword searches, though?
That's a good point. That's a good point. I don't know how to. I don't even know how to type those letters. So you're probably right.
Only thing. Only thing worth looking for is cooking shows.
Really?
Work.
Where's that button? That's yours. You're off. Yeah, there you go. Hey, man, I love the Muppets, but you launched a dead fish and it didn't work.
I'm just happy to hear a Muppet reference, though.
Muppet Show Season 2 comes out in August.
Yeah. Which, speaking of the Pirate Bay and the Muppets,
I've
been watching Fraggle Rock. Again. Yeah. Downloaded it for Megan. She doesn't like it yet. Thinks she's still a little too young for it. But, man, I love that theme song.
Oh, Fraggle Rock's great.
Fraggle Rock's
You know
fantastic.
What? Maybe I'll use that as our opener next week.
Yeah?
Yeah. That'd just because, man, I almost didn't have any idea what I was going
to say. It also came with a making of Fraggle Rock thing that Jim Henson narrates.
Wow.
I was amazed at how advanced the tech they were using to make Fraggle Rock was way back then.
Especially with the dozers and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was, man, that's some
I can't believe I remembered their
wild
name. That's great.
Stuff.
I'm so happy that I remembered the dozers. But yeah, so that's, I'll have to watch that. You'll have to send that to me or something. I don't know.
Sure.
I'd like to see that.
Yeah.
What do you have, John?
I have another rumor, which was the PlayStation 4 coming out in as little as 18 months, which is, of course, not a PlayStation 4. If it happens, it's more like a PlayStation 3 and a half. There is or something akin to Sony's version of the 360 Elite. It's this is not even official yet, but it's just a possibility of a machine with extra software that sort of turns it into a TiVo thing, and yeah.
So basically just adding some more entertainment center functionality into it as a souped-up unit.
Right, and I didn't see anything in here that has more to do with being a game console. It seems like they're just adding more of the sort of
media center
stuff.
Yeah, they did that with
the PSX is what they called it.
Yeah, was that the original PlayStation or the PlayStation 2 they did that to?
They did it to the PlayStation 2.
Okay.
And they released I think Japan only was the only one that got it.
Yeah.
It got released, but it sold horribly, didn't it?
Yeah, it's actually so this article actually mentions it in 2000.
And it looks ugly anyway, but you know, not that matters. But it didn't sell very well. It didn't fly with them, and I don't know why they would even. And again, this was all rumor anyway.
Yeah, yeah. Well, this one was supposedly from a Sony insider, but of course Sony denies it completely.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me just because they were talking about, they had always talked about this, the PS3 being, you know, they're trying to create your home entertainment console and not just a gaming console.
People keep trying to do that. And
yeah, and it's, and
people
and,
never care.
Right, well, they try to do that and then they have to, you know, charge $600 for a system.
Yeah.
Well, if you look at the 360, it offers you movies that you can rent to download, television shows as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm leaving you out of the conversation, Strax. No, you're out of that conversation because I know how you feel on that. But they did it, and I think they did it well. I know that the 360 talks with my PC very well. In the fact that I can stream music from my PC in the back room and play it out of my television speakers and everything.
But those are all things they were able to do with the technology they had already included in it just for the games.
Right.
I mean, all that stuff was necessary to play the games, and they just managed to use that to do other things, which is great. But every time somebody goes out and builds a system around the idea of doing all these
things,
adding more hardware, jacking the price of the system up.
Right. No.
Nobody's willing to spend extra money to do those things. If it's extra and you can do it, great. But nobody's willing to spend more money just to be able to do it.
That's why you don't get an HD DVD drive with your 360, but you have the option to go out and buy one if you
that
want.
That was a great way to do it.
It doesn't come with a camera, which, by the way, did you see the PlayStation Eye?
Oh, no. Well, they had one of those for the PS2 also.
They did, and then the one that they had for it. The one for the PS3 will be the PlayStation Eye. And did you see the card battle game?
No.
That's an interesting looking thing.
Really?
The camera sits on this little tripod that it gets itself. It points down at a field or a little playboard. You have cards, and it's a card battle game. If you look at the screen, when you lay down your card, this animated figure comes out of it and does battle with the other card and all this other stuff.
Huh.
Very cool looking thing.
But you have actual cards on the thing, or
you lay a card down, and then from that card, an actual card.
Yes, an actual card.
You lay the card down. Whatever representation, whatever is read off that card from the camera,
right.
It animates a character on top of that card, as though it was, you know, kind of like blue screen. You know, kind of like when they send the animated characters out to give away an Oscar or whatever.
Right. I wonder if it's these same barcodes like we were talking about a few weeks ago.
It could. You know, it could be that same one.
But maybe.
But, yeah, I'm not sure how it reads in either. But, anyway, we got to take a break here. In fact, we'll be coming back here 6 minutes after the top of the hour. We got tons of news. We've got, like I said, the goat head getting cut off. We've also... Yeah, we're going to talk about E3, we're going to talk about PAX, we're going to talk about David, I believe his last name, what is it, Jaffe?
I have no idea how you pronounce it.
It
should be Gaff.
Gaff,
you know.
Yeah, well, the creator of God of War kind of lost his mind over the week, but we'll talk all about that coming up next here on In-Game Chat on 1170 WACV. Bing. Back to In-Game Chat. I don't ever want to see your mouth like that again. You're going to do something like that? You move your head. Turn your head to the other side. He did the Kirby noise of, like, sucking in all the stuff. But he covered his mouth like a little hole. And then his lips were weird. So that was gross. Anyway. Because, you know, everybody needed to know that. How I was feeling. Exactly.
It was important news.
No, it wasn't. Well, the important news was the fact that we got a phone call. that's important news. In fact, you know, the number, I don't give it out enough. You can find that on a call list. Go to MouseLook or Evil Avatar, but it's 334-272-9228 if you'd like to call in. We actually had a caller from a local listener here, and we always love when the locals call in and, you know, first-time callers as well, first-time listeners, that sort of thing. She had a question, and originally we were going to address this later, but, hey, when they call in, I'd love to get their questions in. Her son is 13 years old, correct? Go ahead and tell us what she said there, Dilla.
This is for Kim. Her son is 13 and interested in designing games for a living when he gets older. And she was interested in what she could do to foster that path as a parent that doesn't know anything about the industry.
Right. Do you guys have any advice on that? I think there's a book.
There's lots of good stuff out there. There's lots of good books.
There's a book in GameStop, I know, in Prattville, because it's got, like, cover art, I think, looks like stuff, something that Gabe did.
It's from Penny Arcade.
From Penny Arcade, how to get into the video game industry, business, something like that. So.
I've seen it at, like, various GameStops around town.
That's a book you might want to look into. It might be a book you want to look into for yourself first, and then kind of see if that tells you anything that you may want to direct your son. 13, I'm not sure, you know, it's been a while since I've been 13. But I'm not sure how you start that. Obviously you go to school and go to college and, you know,
there's also a really good website called gamecareerguide.com.
There you go.
It talks about all sorts of different career paths in the game industry, developers, programmers, producers, writers, artists, and how to pursue those different paths.
And what is that website again?
GameCareerGuide.com.
All right, Kim. I hope you're listening, Kim. GameCareerGuide.com. I would start there. That seems to be a good place. In fact, you don't have to go out and buy a book. You can just go on the web, GameCareerGuide.com. So I hope we
answered. One of the things to keep in mind is working with games isn't necessarily just learning code.
Right.
Because that's a lot of the times the only thing people think about when they think of a game is, you know, programming it, writing the code. I mean, there's all sorts of different ways that you can contribute to developing a game, writing artwork, 3D graphics, or, you know, 2D graphics. All
right.
Very, very important. Sound, you know, music, musical scores,
mm-hmm.
Voice acting.
Beta testing.
Yeah, and of course the
game testing, whatever the case.
I think the holy grail for a lot of people is game design.
Right. Yeah.
Getting, you know, to design your own games and getting other people to make them.
Exactly.
Which is, I think, one of the hardest nuts to crack as far as the game industry goes. But there's a lot of stuff out there, both on that website and in those books you guys mentioned.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there you go, Kim. I hope we were of some help to you, and thanks for calling in, and thanks for listening as well. We're going to get into kind of a dark side of the game industry here for a second. Over the weekend, some images came out in the I believe it was the Sony PlayStation magazine, the official PlayStation 2 magazine. There was an event held in the UK for the launch of God of War 2. They did so. Sony, for whatever reason, you've seen Sony's commercials.
They have the strangest commercials.
Don't they? For the PS3, there's the baby doll that's crying, and then it burns, goes up in flames or something. Like, I don't know what it is.
I don't think it goes up in flames. I think it just sits there and cries and then smiles and then makes a weird face.
I thought it melted.
And the PlayStation 3 floats.
They've done some...
And then there's one with a bunch of birds, and there's another one with like a bunch of, like, was it ping pong balls or ice hockey pucks or something flying?
There were eggs. I know there were eggs.
I don't know.
Anything that has no relation to the product and just makes you go, why? Yeah.
That's Sony.
Everything they do recently.
And so then they do this. Then their marketing decides, let's have a big Roman orgy to promote God of War 2. They displayed a decapitated goat and having the revelers reach inside to feast upon the goat's innards. That's what the report came out. Now, that's a little odd, because, I mean, there's some serious, bodily things that you don't just need to be eaten out of the inside of a dead goat. I don't care if you cook food and then put it inside.
Never mind the fact that it's disgusting.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to see that.
But there, and so there's pictures, and then apparently official PlayStation 2 magazine thought, we'll run those pictures. Why not? They're probably in with the they're in cahoots with the marketing. But no, guests at the event were invited to reach inside the goat's still warm carcass to eat. What is it called? Offal? 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 Yeah. Offal? From its stomach.
Awful.
It was awful. The offal was awful. So pictures ended up into the magazine. Subscriber copies had already been sent out, but the company is now recalling the 80,000 newsstand copies that were to appear this Tuesday. You might have a collector's edition on your hand.
I don't even know what to say about that. Who thinks that that's... First off, who thinks that that's okay to do? And second, who thinks that that's going to make me want to buy your video game?
Yeah, no kidding.
What in the world does that have to do with the game God of War?
Now, I can tell you God of War is very, you know, it's got tons of gratuitous blood. I'll tell you that now. It's gory, it's bloody, and that sort of thing. I get that, but... No point in having that displayed in real life. It's over the top for a reason. Because, there are no such things as griffins in the world, but in the game there are. So anyway, Sony then went on to conduct an internal inquiry following the dead goat incident. It's come to our attention that the God of War 2 launch showcase held in Athens, Greece, on March the 1st, 2007, an element of an event was of an unsuitable nature, said a Sony spokesperson. We're being as PC about this as we possibly can. Whilst we pride ourselves on creating engaging experiences, we are committed to making sure that these are appropriate in nature and do not cause offense to either attendees or our consumers in general.
Maybe they should have committed a little sooner.
They came up with it. Somebody was in a meeting. They had a meeting for this. And probably a bunch of guys in suits, actually. One of them presented this and said, this is what we're going to do. And a bunch of guys said, great, let's do it. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe they presented something, and then one trickster said, I'm going to put a dead goat over there, or something like that. I don't know what the case may have been. But we're conducting internal inquiry into aspects of the event in order to learn from the occurrence and put into place. Wow. Spin. In keeping with the theatrical nature of the event, the attendant media were invited to eat a bowl of food that purported to be from the animal, but in fact was cooked traditional Greek dish. So apparently they didn't actually have to reach inside. A lot of people who read the original article from the UK mag, I think it's called The Mail, a lot of people said that's a very over-the-top, you know, magazine that's really going to embellish the facts and all this other stuff. So, but still, it's still there was a dead goat with no head.
Right.
Yeah.
The writer of this article did not attend the event and has portrayed the theater as a literal occurrence. This is not a true representation of the event, but nevertheless we realize the imagery and the inaccurate description of the event would cause offense and have thus taken action to stop it from circulating. The company was shocked to see the article appear in the official PlayStation magazine and immediately contacted Future Publishing to address the issue. Let's see. Sony well, Computer Entertainment Europe does not in any way, shape, or form condone cruelty or mistreatment of animals. So that was their statement. So then there is more. That keeps the hits just keep on coming.
It never stops coming.
No, it doesn't.
When it comes to these people.
Oh, let's see. Sony then they went on to explain everything, and I'm reading over this article as quickly as I can to get in there to figure out. Let's see. So the story, it seems everywhere. Daily Mail was actually where it came from out of the UK. The infamous goat was thoroughly dead upon arrival. It wasn't as though they dragged the poor little guy in there.
Yeah, and I heard they got him from a local butcher shop.
Exactly. He was dead upon arrival. It was procured from a qualified butcher and was returned after the event and was never allowed to be touched by journalists.
Because that makes it better.
The goat was filled with a meat soup made to a traditional Greek recipe and served to attendees in China bowls direct from the caterers. No soup came directly from the goat. We recognized that the use of a dead goat was in poor taste and fell below the high standards of conduct we set ourselves. I really need some great sound effects for this. We're conducting an inquiry to establish the circumstances behind the event in order to ensure that it's not happen again. We also apologize to anyone offended by the article in the magazine. It was undeniably tacky, but hardly the Phil Harrison bites off the head of a chimp and mows down the audience using a Tommy gun debacle you may have envisioned before. So that was their whole thing.
And I'd then say it's somewhere in between there, you know, somewhere in the realm of...
They're claiming it was a theatrical dramatization with a Greek mythological theme, and as part of the set dressing, a dead goat was provided by the production company. Yeah, so it's...
What production company?
Yeah, they're not going to release that. Are you
provides
crazy?
The dead goat.
I don't know.
I mean, okay.
So that was their whole thing. Just some weird... Just Sony, man. Sony does weird stuff.
They keep getting themselves into trouble. They in do. The PR department.
Big time.
Big well, ones.
You know what? We forgot. We forgot to go back to the PSP. Remember the advertisement they had in the UK on the PSP when the white one came out?
Oh, yeah.
Remember the black and the white and the racial issues that were going on with that whole thing?
Yeah.
Again, this goes back to their marketing.
With the white chick beating up on the black chick?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
It was like, white's better. You remember that? It was,
oh, boy.
PSP came out with a white... It was always the black version, and then they came out with the white version, and their article, or their billboards, was this white chick beating up on this black chick to promote the PSP thing, and just... Stupid, stupid Sony. Apparently, I don't know. Maybe they thought,
we say
edge.
That like every week, though. I mean,
yeah, it seems like every week we have a story about them doing something in this vein.
I don't know. We should, you know what? We'll dedicate a segment to the show.
This week in Sony.
This week in Sony, exactly. We'll dedicate a segment. We'll find something every week. Just
we
got to
get
that,
like some sort of music to play into that.
Just to prove that it doesn't that Sony is the one shooting themselves. I'm serious. We're not out there. I would love to find great things to say about Sony, and we have on occasion, but they keep doing this to themselves. So, anyway, goodness, let's take a quick break here, and by quick, I mean 2 minutes, and we'll be back here with some more news. What do we have coming up next? What did you have? Well, speaking of God of War 2, the creator of God of War 2 kind of went nuts over the week. Well, his name's David. I can't remember. I don't know how to pronounce his
name.
If anybody in the chat room can phonetically
tell
us how to pronounce David Jaffe Gaffe, whatever his last name is, let us know so that we can come back and be actually correct on this. But he went a little crazy. There were some things said over the weekend, or over the week, actually. His game Calling Our Cars got delayed, and so people said a few things, and he, instead of just being a gentleman about it and just ignoring it, he decided to lose his mind a little bit. So we'll talk about that and more coming up here next, right here on In-Game Chat, here on 1170 WACV. What is this from?
I'm blanking.
Yeah, I don't know.
Double Dragon?
Yeah, that sounds like Double Dragon.
Well, speaking of Double Dragon,
coming out on
like
Live Arcade.
It's getting a Live Arcade release.
Yeah, and that, yeah, it was definitely
Double Dragon. Welcome back to In-Game Chat on 1170 WACV. I want to thank everybody in the chat room who is listening. And let's see, we got a few people from Evil Avatar in there, so thanks for listening. Let's jump right into it. Again, I don't know how to say his name.
We'll just call him David.
We'll just call him David, the creator of God of War 2, the creator
David
of Calling
J.
All... Yeah, David J. the creator of Calling All Cars, and what is he? He had a hand in Twisted Metal, from what I heard during the break here. Well, tell the story.
All right, well, basically, IGN put up a review of his new game, which is going to be an Xbox Live game, called Calling All Cars.
I thought it was a PS3 game.
Is it a PS3 downloadable game?
It's a PS3 network game.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, David's really committed to the PS3.
I knew it was $10, so... And it was
he's very committed to the to PlayStation, not
sorry,
just PS3.
Sorry.
No, that's okay. The game was actually supposed to come out sometime this week, and then it got delayed again. IGN did a review.
Yeah.
And he responded to that, and I think that's what you were talking about there.
Well, yeah, he got a little upset, I believe, in his response to IGN, but he said they they had legitimate points, and so he went back and pushed the game back kind of indefinitely to address those issues.
Right.
And then Joystick came out and made some comments about it getting delayed. And
do you have the? Should we go back to that? Should we go?
Have not been able to find it again.
I can find. Trust me, our link dump thing is the place to go.
Okay. Essentially, what they said.
But yeah, go ahead and talk about it.
Like a little girl trying to keep her favorite doll out of the garage sale bin. David, has pushed back to work on it some more, get it just right. Blah blah blah. I don't remember the rest of the wording other than the little girl, her favorite doll, and the. Garage sale bin. Well, he kind of took that the wrong way, and he really went off on them. Used some extremely strong language on his blog, called them idiots and much much worse.
I've got the original article that they wrote.
But yeah, he says that. He basically took it as that. He took it as an insult that he was trying to keep his game from being a bargain bin game.
He got really excited. Yeah, he got up in arms over this.
But what they were saying was that they were comparing it to a little girl who doesn't want to give up her favorite toy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of how a lot of these developers and programmers are. They work on this thing for so long, it's a labor of love, and then they find out that there's a big problem with it. So of course they want to hang on to it a little bit longer and make it right.
Right.
So. He just took it wrong, and it came out.
Read his response. Censor yourself, but read his response.
Here, I'll let you do it.
Oh, you'll let me do it. Okay, yeah. I'll get the honors then. Let's see. To the lame, explicative deleted website that shall go unnamed, blank you guys. Go, yeah. Go blank that. What other developer makes a change to a game when a review, IGN's in this case, has a good valid point and is willing to open the code up at the risk of more bugs to make the game better. Amazing, but hey, you guys are great. You guys rock. I hope that other website puts you out of business. Boy, I got to really be careful here. You want to be tards. If you were actual journalist, you would have read the... quote I posted on NeoGAF where I said, because of the two bugs we needed to fix, not because I was afraid of the bargain bin, we had a window of opportunity to fix the magnet problem. And then I can't read the last three lines, actually. There's not a word. I can read total. That's it. There are one, two, three, four. There are four words, but I can only read the one word total out of that.
Well, needless to say, he's upset a lot of people, and he's basically had to shut down his blog now.
Yeah, he decided that he was going to quit blogging for whatever.
Fights like a wise decision.
Fights, there's always that whole thing about, arguing on the internet.
Yeah.
And we don't have to go any further. But you know what I mean. It's just ridiculous. But he took some major offense to that, so.
Well, he misunderstood what they were saying, and he overreacted.
But it's interesting, because if you've ever played God of War, God of War 2...
Yeah.
Somebody who developed that game, you'd look at it and be like, man, this guy's got a lot of pent-up rage.
it's kind of unfortunate because in not that post in particular, but his previous post, he's very, very candid. He's very, he puts more of himself out there than any other developer dares to, as you can kind of tell by that post. He put way too much of himself out there, I think.
Yeah.
But I think people hold back way too much in most industries, the game industry included. And you get this, you know, PR safe, dried out, washed out, you know, safe version of whatever news that they deem to give you. And he was never like that. And now, you know, he's apparently not going to say much to the public anymore.
Yeah. So he doesn't have to. Go ahead.
It's also sort of a new situation that you have, you know, sort of the creative forces behind entertainment able to interact directly with the public. I mean, you know, previously you had news people go and talk to movie studio people, and, you know, you had PR and PR departments involved, and but, you know, now the gamers are talking directly to the people who are the developers. It'd be like people who go to watch a movie and, you know, you can just call the director up afterwards and say, wow, that was awful.
Yeah.
And, you know, of course they're going to have something bad to say back to you.
Well, they get to read the reviews. I mean, we heard some of those Spider-Man reviews, Spider-Man 3,
right.
People coming out saying, oh, it wasn't as good as the first.
Right,
and
right.
Some people saying, oh, it was better than all the other
yeah.
two.
Yeah, and so you're not going to have Sam Raimi go off in his blog and, you know, start swearing up a storm about the people who gave the bad reviews, I don't think.
Yeah, I don't know, you know? I don't know.
Maybe he does.
Well, put it this way, he's really, ever since God of War, which is his main claim to fame,
right.
Anything.
Yeah, I mean,
he has gotten nothing but praise.
Right.
God of War gave him praise. God of War 2 gave him praise. And then he goes and makes Calling All Cars, and then it's like, not so much praise. He may have, he just, you know, what is that whole thing? Humble pie, I guess. I don't know what it is, but he didn't like that too well, so. But yeah, that's, them's the breaks, basically.
Indeed.
So, anyway, let's see, should we go to a commercial, or should we jump right into other stuff here? I'll mention E3 for a little bit. The floor plan for E3 was released, and this is not big enough. I should have clicked to enlarge like it said. Anyway, there was a comparison chart I saw where it showed Microsoft's space from the E3 06 and how big that was. And then it showed Microsoft's space for E3 07. And it was tiny. It was itty-bitty. And basically, you've been to E3, right?
Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
Three times.
Look at that floor plan down there at the bottom.
Yeah, I saw this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, when you went, they were still kind of the way that they were with E3 06, weren't they?
Oh, they were huge.
They were big.
Big, big.
But
big,
you look
big.
At that right there, and I know this is radio, so nobody can see exactly what we're talking about, and I'm trying to think of a way to compare it, but it's gotten very small. And we knew this was coming, but some of the guys, I mean, a lot of people, a guy who used to work for Bungie has said that, you know, the old E3 served no purpose anyway. He said it's a huge relief. As a developer, E3 brought its share of excitement. There's a lot of attention put in the industry, and if you've got something that's debuting or being shown, it's very exciting. But more often than not, it ends up being a huge drain on resources to focus and to prepare for an event that really, from a developer's perspective, did not seem to serve any purpose whatsoever. It was really a big stroke fest for the publishers to see who could make the most noise. Would you agree with that?
I would.
From the time that you were there, and then I guess from the stuff you saw.
It was an amazing thing to be a part of, if you got a chance to, while it was still going. But, yeah, from a developer's perspective, it means once a year, they were forced by their publisher to create something showable for the show. Something visible that maybe could be played or at least seen. And that's not really how game development works.
Right.
You don't really get to that point till more towards the end of the process. And if you're early in the process and they say, we have to have something to show on this date, it means you have to derail your entire development schedule to make this thing. And then you can go all the way back to where you were before that and start making the game again.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it was a huge drain on resources.
Yeah. But I don't know, are you looking forward to E3 this year from it being going to this smaller thing? Do you think better things will come of it?
I think it's going to be a lot better.
I mean, they've moved it obviously later in the year.
I don't think E3 will be very relevant to us anymore, except maybe as a way for them to. Well, I mean, it'll be the same way it always has been. They make their announcements, and then it comes out. The news comes out, and then we're done with it. But
so do you think
the magic that was E3 for the people that got to go, that kind of stuff will live on in other conventions.
I hate that I never got to go. This is the same thing as when all the performers and whatever who die before I get to see them.
I think that's better served with community conventions like PAX, Penny Arcade Expo.
Which was what I was about to jump into. Do you think that while E3, they will go there and they will make their announcements and we will get internet feeds saying, oh, they made this announcement and this announcement, instead of where before they were doing live blogging from these from their presentations and stuff like that? Do you think that they'll, so while they'll make the announcements at E3, since PAX and E3 are so close together this year, will they make the announcements at E3 and then show off stuff at PAX and then, like, do those big reveals like they did?
I don't think so.
Instead of where it used to be, they'd go to these conventions and say, hey, we'll have more at E3. We'll show all this video off. Do you think they'll be at E3 saying, we'll have more at PAX or,
I don't think so, because PAX, from
the Tokyo Game Show or whatever.
From what I understand, PAX doesn't really work that way.
Yeah, well, I've never been, obviously.
I mean, Dennis has been. You can tell us something about what PAX is like.
You went the first year? You went the first year.
It was very much, at that time, it was, their first convention, so.
Smaller than what it is now.
Smaller than what it is now, by far, but, still quite big. I mean, they had, over 13,000 people there, I think. But it was very.
And I think they're getting 30,000 this year.
Yeah, they had to move to a whole new convention center, and this one makes the old one just look tiny.
Yeah. I mean, they just do things different though. Like their keynote speaker is going to be Will Wheaton.
Right, I was going to mention that Will Wheaton's going to be there.
They do tournaments and stuff, and they revel in as much as in old games. Things from the past, things that are retro, as they do in the new stuff, which E3 didn't do. So there really isn't as much room. You don't have to fill it up with all that. Here's all this new stuff to come look and gawk over. It's more of just an excuse for gamers to come together and have a blast.
It's more for the gamers than for the developers and the news media.
And the developers and news media will have a presence there, but not as a big reveal kind of thing.
Just as self-promotion. But wouldn't the companies and the developers, wouldn't they realize that this is more for, this is our target audience?
It is, but there's no longer a push to do.
We should use this to promote, shouldn't we?
Yeah, to promote, there's no pressure to have something if it's not ready yet.
No, true. Yeah,
I mean, they when I was there in 04, they had a huge room with nothing but stuff that was in development at that time. It was like Fable, Dungeons & Siege 2. They had demos out for them and such. People could pick it up. And
that's great. I'm really excited.
E3 is all about stuff that isn't out yet.
Yeah, it is.
PAX is...
And another place for Sony to make statements.
It was just one room. It wasn't the entire convention. There was an entire room dedicated to console tournaments, another one for nothing but... PC, LAN parties. I mean, and this thing was open for 72 hours nonstop.
Yeah. Wow. I'm really excited about going this year. A few of us from MouseLook, from In-Game Chat here, are going to be making our way there. In fact, Zilla in the booth. Thumbs up, man. She's busy. That week-old copy of Entertainment Weekly is just... she's reading about Spider... Are you reading about... Oh. It's the summer. It's 115 movies, so she's going over all of them. We expect a full report by the end of the show.
What number are you on right now? What do you mean you don't know? They're not numbered?
No, they're not numbered.
Well,
what month are you in? August?
I worked backwards, and I'm in June.
I tell you, man, that's the way she works. That's the way Dana does things. But anyway, so... We're going to PAX this year, and hopefully we're going to broadcast live from out there. We'd like to broadcast live from PAX.
That would be excellent.
We don't have a booth. We're not going to have any little space or anything, but we're going to try and broadcast live from PAX. I don't know how it's going to work. I don't know
Maybe
how
we'll
we're going to
get you
do
guys
it.
Some T-shirts by then.
Yeah. Promoting the show, promoting MouseLook, that sort of thing. That'd be great. That'd be great. But, yeah, we're going to be out there. So, let's see. Will Wheaton's the keynote speaker. The Omegathon that you participated in.
Yes, I was in the Omegathon.
Eliminated in what round?
Round one.
Round 0.5.
Man, I have a story there that will take up the rest of this hour to talk about that. Yeah.
Well, they have the Omegathon, which is this. How many rounds is it?
When I was there, it was about seven rounds with Basically, usually it was various rules, but basically one round you were eliminated. Depends on what they had. The first one was, as far as I know, has been a tabletop game every time. When I was there, it was...
God, I'm screwed if I wanted to be in that thing.
Yeah, usually, like when I was there, it was Dice Land was the name of the game.
Mm-hmm.
I don't recall what else to do, but it always opens up with a tabletop game where it's usually they
for
break
the first
off,
round.
Break off, and whoever loses at each table is out of that round.
Right, and then they move on into games, yes. And they play all genre of games.
Yeah, racing games. They did DDR.
The final. What was the?
The final one in 04 was Pong.
It was Pong, and then the final one next year, the year after that, was what, Tetris?
Combat.
Oh, Combat.
For the Atari 2600.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just, and I mean, in between that, they had Halo Deathmatches going on. Double Dash was one of the games as well. I mean,
Double Dash, they just ran
the gamut. The round before the last one was the original Doom on the PC.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was just, they went everywhere with those contests.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I know the, what was the prize they had the year you were there?
The first prize was just this entire collection.
It was huge.
Just from everything that was out there, like PS2, GameCube. I remember there was a Crystal Chronicles GameCube that was only released in Japan as part of it.
Yeah,
wow.
All sorts of just interesting peripherals, like a Japanese blade for the Onimusha series.
Wow.
I mean,
this year they're giving. This year the winner gets a trip for two to the Tokyo Game Show, 4 days over there, along with $5,000 in spending money. As well. So lots of fun stuff, lots of cool stuff going on with PAX. And we're going to be there, and we're going to be glad to be there. And it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm very excited and going. I'm glad. Plus, I get to leave work.
And when is it?
Last weekend of August, I believe.
Last of August.
Is it the last weekend? I thought it was like... you're right. It is August 24th through the 26th at the Washington State Trade and Convention Center in downtown Seattle. So... that's when it is. So there you go, and thank you to Gabe and Tygo for doing that.
Yeah.
For doing PAX. That's some great stuff. So
they've done very well with it, too.
All right, we got to take a break, and then when we come back, we've got more news to get into. In fact, I think I gave all the rest of the news to you. Basically just off-the-wall type little things here that we pulled off from Engadget and that sort of thing. And we got movie news as well that we can get into as well. So lots of stuff coming up next right here on In-Game Chat on 1170 WACV. That's all it was. 22 seconds, I figured we could go with that one. Fox News just reported... welcome back to In-Game Chat, by the way. Excuse me for a second. I'm still coming down from being sick, but I'm so much better than I was last week. They were talking about Microsoft really looking into buying Yahoo.
Not the first time they've looked into doing
it. I don't think it is. I know that I know already, like Yahoo Messenger and Windows Messenger are like interactive now. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, they're buddy-buddy with them, but, you know, that's fine. They want to buy them. I don't really care one way or the other. So, in fact,
they're just looking for a way to.
That's
their
much
of
care. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Go ahead. What do you have, John? I know it's just there's just different stories
So a few sort of interesting off the wall types of things. California Congressman Ken Calvert is
wow.
California Congressman Ken Calvert. Huh?
Can you say that three times fast?
I don't think I can, but I am a fan of alliteration. So I mean, it would be fun to try. He has this idea. It's an idea. He has an idea to help NASA with some financial issues by having them sell advertising space on things like the space shuttle.
Oh yeah,
and possibly other things.
I've been saying for years they should do that.
Right. I mean, so it's you know, you can sell.
There's no reason not to, other than pure pride.
Right. I mean, and you know, next is going to be patches on uniforms and things like that. Maybe.
The Russians already do it.
Right.
Yeah, that's how they get their revenue. Yeah.
It's an interesting idea. Why not?
Yeah.
You know, it's actually kind of sad, though. There's not a lot of people anymore who watch.
No.
Who would be watching the shuttle launches. Yeah. I'm one of them that still does, and especially after I got high definition. That's some beautiful stuff.
Yeah. Oh, I bet.
Oh, man, is that beautiful. But I still watch every launch that I can, and if I not, TiVo it,
right.
Because I'm still fascinated with that whole thing.
Yeah.
Do I want to see a big, as the picture shows, a big McDonald's logo on my space shuttle that's going up? Some of it may take away a little bit of the whole. I don't know what it is. Just again, like you said, maybe it's pride. I'm not sure what that is, but
if it means we get to go up there more and do more stuff and have more money to spend,
if it gives them more money, I'm all about that. That's fine. But what does it serve a purpose to those people buying it? I mean, is that really lucrative?
Is it good
ad space?
Advertising, right? Maybe.
The first few people that do it will be all over the news.
Because, there'll
be
press releases
and
everything.
Plastered with their logos, because that'll be a big thing.
Yeah, and come to think of it, you might start seeing, promotions at, taking McDonald's for an example. Every time there's a shuttle launch, they run some deal or something like that.
Where you get a space shuttle toy?
Right.
And that's not a bad thing at all, man.
Not bad at all, actually.
I'm all for, promoting space exploration among the kids.
As little as I try to give money to McDonald's, I think,
maybe if you collect all the railroads in the Monopoly game, you get,
a ride on the shuttle?
You get a ride,
awesome.
Yeah, you get a ride on the shuttle. Or you get a space suit, something like that.
McDonald's a lot.
Hey, side story on that, just real quick. When I played the Monopoly game this past year, I went on eBay, and I bought game pieces off of eBay.
What?
I bought 250 game pieces for $25.
You are insane.
Well, it's better than buying a Warcraft weapon off of eBay, I guess.
Probably.
Things like that.
I got lots of free Egg McMuffins, but no Boardwalk.
Oh, dear. All right, this is a little sort of off course for us, but is an interesting story. The British government is thinking about tracking every car on the road, essentially
installing a GPS in all of them.
GPS tracking in every vehicle.
Talk about Big Brother,
right? Which is,
they're only a few steps away from it. They've already got cameras everywhere.
Yeah, Britain, for those of you who don't know, is really the most heavily surveilled country that I know of, anyway, as far as countries that consider themselves to be free societies.
I was just pulling out of Publix the other day and noticed they got a camera up there on that intersection, a couple of them.
There's cameras.
First ones I'd noticed. Yeah.
But it's, there's pretty much cameras everywhere. They have, Britain has also instituted cameras that talk to you. That is a camera that's watching a public square, and if you drop a piece of trash on the ground, a guy can come over a loudspeaker and tell you to pick up your trash.
Great,
there you go, man.
It's the agency in Crackdown talking to me all over again.
No, I mean, it really is.
1984 is just
really
a couple decades late.
Right. Yeah.
Got here.
They don't have this. They don't have a face on the screen talking to you, but that's next.
Whose face are they going to pick for that?
Right.
So it'll be celebrity, a different celebrity each time.
So we put a GPS in every car. As long as they're not talking about putting RFID tags in every person.
give them another 10 or 20
years.
That's
going to be the next thing. It'll be a requirement.
First the cars, then the people.
Right.
Mm-hmm. In another 10 or 20 years, I fully expect to have mandatory GPS over here, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Cars, cell phones.
You know how it'll probably start with, just like they're doing now. I think everything that we could do Big Brother with, I think it always starts with sex offenders. Sex offenders will be the first people to get their cars GPSed.
Sex offenders or child molesters.
Yeah, something like that. Right. Exactly. Those people, they'll get their cars GPSed.
Yep.
And then they'll think, well, wow, it's working really well with these guys. Let's move that on into things. So it'll all start going to criminals, and then people will just be like, well, let's just make it come standard with the car that you buy.
Right. A lot of them do. I mean, a lot of the cars now do have GPS locators in them.
Yeah, that's true.
But they're not sending it back to the government.
Tom? No, GovGov.
Right. Exactly. So, I mean, it's a very simple thing for it to have it, pull down this information, and the same device that's giving you your directions is also transmitting your location to whoever.
Yeah.
and I don't even want to think about, you know, security issues in this. If, you know, if someone else, not the, I mean, despite the fact that the government's tracking everybody, how easy would it be for someone else to find this signal and track you as well?
That's true.
Scary stuff.
It is. It really is. But, you know, it's not much we can do about it, I guess.
Well, not. I mean, we can, you know, hope that people in Britain do something about it. We can say something about it over here. But, yeah, we can't really change policy. And
yeah.
We don't even good changing policy here.
That's true. So,
What else you got?
Oh, yeah, that's right. I've got the whole stack here.
This is your segment, man.
Yeah, well, I've got to have something before I leave. a couple of green energy ideas. One of which sounds like a lot of fun. The headline: Fosters to aid in the first beer battery fuel cell project. Now, I read this article, and what I thought about was the Mr. Fusion from Back to the Future 2.
Right.
Because what essentially they're doing is...
I found one of those, by the way.
Really?
Does
it work?
Well, no. It's an old...
it's an old prop?
No, it's a coffee grinder.
It was a coffee grinder.
What is the... what's the name of that...
Mr. Coffee?
No. It was... I can't remember the brand. I used to have the...
Bun?
No, but go ahead. I'll find it.
Regardless.
It begins with a K. Hang on. Here she comes. I knew she'd get it.
Krups.
That's exactly what it is. It's a Krups coffee grinder.
Gotcha. Now the...
Thank you.
The proposal here is that it's actually being developed by the Australian beer maker Fosters. Well, it just says scientists, not what at the University of Queensland. Anyway, essentially what they're making is a device that consumes the waste products from brewing beer and produces electricity from that. So they're taking this waste, which contains all sort of sugar and starch and alcohol that's being not beer, the things that are just sort of getting drained off and I guess would get thrown away or dumped into something else. And processing that, creating electricity, and
from beer,
or actually from not beer. It's from the waste that is not beer. So you're still getting the beer. I mean, this is perfect.
That's exactly why he flipped the can up to see how much was in there before he threw it in the Mr. Fusion.
So, I mean, this sounds wonderful, whatever they can do. Supposedly, this thing is expected only to produce 2 kilowatts of power, which is...
2 kilowatts?
2.0 kilowatts?
This doesn't work as well.
No. But, I mean, 1.21 gigawatts is not far behind. I'm sure. But, I mean, you know, 2 kilowatts, that's a little bit less than a standard...
It's probably a dark ale that'll...
Right. 2 kilowatts is a little bit less than a standard circuit breaker in a house. Those are usually 2.4 kilowatts. So, I mean, it's not an enormous amount of power. You know, you could put a couple of, a computer or a couple of appliances and, you know, a lot of lights on it or something like that. I mean, but imagine just, you know... You get done with something, you pour it down the drain, and that's what powers the lights to run your house.
Yeah, exactly. That would be cool.
Another thing that's happening in this vein, a Spanish solar tower that could eventually power an entire city.
Did you see the tower, the way the thing works? It's like a bunch of different mirrors focused onto one point.
That's fantastic.
It looks really cool. Yeah, I'll give you the pictures are kind of small, but you can see it.
Does it say how expensive that thing is to build?
Oh,
I'm sure it's up there, but
no, it doesn't say it in this article.
Solar power
for a whole town,
right,
with a single tower—that's a big deal, man.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's traditionally been very,
but it's like hundreds of mirrors that are all focused on this one point.
Wow, 600 and growing.
It collects all this. Right. 600 mirrors.
600 mirrors, but apparently they're adding more. And the mirrors are on the ground. They track with the sun and direct the light back to the tower, which has the collection devices, whatever the solar cells. 390 kilowatts of energy at the moment. That's different. Sorry.
That's fine.
Yeah, whatever.
That reminds me of the Solar Death Ray. Has anybody seen the Solar Death Ray?
I've seen that on Mythbusters.
Go to solardeathray.com when you get a chance.
Is this
I think
just
that's the
making
website.
A laser, like focusing heat and.
Well, it's based off
that's
of the whole
site.
Like what you do with the magnifying glass and the ants.
It's,
and
it's all about it's the Archimedes Death Ray.
Okay.
Where apparently. Archimedes developed the government went to Archimedes and said, "Hey, we need you to defend our city." And he told all the warriors there to polish their shields as bright as they could, and they focused all that stuff onto the ships. And number one, everybody was really hot on the ship. And then eventually, apparently, the whole story goes that it all caught in flames and they sunk the ships, and the day was saved. It's basically the same principle.
Yeah, the guy put 112 mirrors together and focuses them all to a single point, and he used to. It looks like he's put it down as of a year ago, packed it up, put it in mothballs. But for a long time, he took submissions on what to burn with the Solar Death Ray next. And he
what were
would,
some of the choices?
Well, let's see. Some of the stuff that made up a honey bear, a little plastic squeeze container thing. Fruit. A bra.
Obviously, the watermelon gets it first, you know.
A sound card. An Xbox box. Not the Xbox itself, an Xbox box. A computer mouse, a pirate ship, Doritos, Darth Vader, a Twinkie, a donut, marshmallow peeps, a robot dog.
How about another mirror?
Tetris on a 5 1/4 floppy, a rubber ducky, a light bright, Hootie and the Blowfish tape, my pants. Sunglasses, a record, Oreo cookie, Army Men, an AOL CD, and it goes on and on and on. There's all sorts of stuff that he destroyed with this thing.
I assume there are.
There's many pictures and maybe
pictures
some
of
video.
These things at various states of decomposition.
Yeah.
Well, that's gonna do it for this hour of. Are we gonna? Yeah.
SolarDeathRay.com.
It's SolarDeathRay.com. Head on over there. We gotta take a break here in a bit. When we come back, we'll hit some movie news. There's some great DVD news coming out here. Let's see, what else do we have? Just lots more movie news coming up. And then we're going to talk the Xbox 360, which we do every episode.
And we also need to talk about this kid that got expelled making a Counter-Strike map of his school.
Well, okay, we still got a lot more to get into into one more hour of in-game chat. And we'll be coming back 6 minutes after the hour with more of in-game chat right here on 1170 WACV. And welcome back to In-Game Chat here at 1170 WACV. It is our final hour of In-Game Chat. That's a neat little bed there. What is that from?
A neat little what?
Neat little bed there. What is that
Castlevania.
From?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, is that Castlevania? Cool. You going to pick that up on arcade? Hey, you don't need to. Never mind. Sometimes I forget who I'm talking to over there. Anyway, welcome back to In-Game Chat here on 1170 WACV. It is our final hour, and I got lots to talk about this hour. There's a ton of stuff, apparently, that just popped up. Originally, we were just going to hit some movie news stuff and then talk about 360 experiences, but there was a story you wanted to get into.
Yeah, man.
And so let's just jump right into it now.
All right. A student was arrested for making a map of his school. I'll just read it. A Chinese student was removed from Clements High School in Fort Bend, Texas, after parents complained he had recreated the school grounds in a game and uploaded the map for his friends to play. The boy was placed in the district's alternate education school and later arrested as the police considered him a terroristic threat. The Chinese community and boy's mother have rallied behind him, saying the school has acted too harshly in the wake of the Virginia Tech shootings. No charges were filed, though the boy won't be allowed to participate in graduation ceremonies.
Oh, man.
Oh, it's absolutely ridiculous. For as long as I can remember, ever since map creation in games has been a reality.
Hey, guess what? Google's got a map of the Earth.
Right. Yeah.
A really detailed map of the Earth.
But, I mean...
Makes you wonder!
I remember my friends, Quake 2 or 3, I think it was. We made a map of our... one of my friends made a map of the high school.
Yeah, back when Doom came out and I was in high school, we talked about, wouldn't it be great if we could make a map of the school? And it's not because... you're wanting to go around killing people at your school. It's because it's about playing around in an environment that you're that intimate and familiar with.
Right.
And you think about, wow, this has all these different twists and turns and all this. This would be great for a place to play in this game.
I think one of the fundamental things that people have to realize here is that, you know, you're playing the game to do things that you don't do in real life.
Right.
Not to do things that you intend on doing in real life. It's, you know, things that will never happen.
I can't play guitar, but boy.
Right, but you can play some Guitar Hero.
Exactly.
You know.
Yeah, and what's really sad is the failure of this school board to perform their role and praise the kid instead of punishing him. Because he had the ambition to learn a ton of skills to put this together. I mean, he had to learn modeling, behavior programming, texturing. There's a lot of math and
how detailed.
Computer
does
and
it say
art.
How detailed that map was with the?
It doesn't say.
It depends. I mean, it depends on the. It depends on the game. Yeah. Sometimes you just pick. You know, I mean, you could just be picking predefined buildings and setting them there, but he could also be, you know, really creating. It just depends.
I always wanted the.
It depends on the mapping engine.
I always wanted in my racing games a map of my area.
Well, and I mean, like, think about games like, what was it? The True Crime series. Weren't they actually using real street maps?
I believe so.
Oh, those were, streets of LA and streets of New York, yeah.
I'm pretty sure at least they were using actual street maps. Midtown Madness used actual street
maps.
Did
they?
I'm pretty sure. Because, I mean, when you were driving in the actual cities, I thought that you could, like, you know...
The biggest thing that comes to
my
mind...
You could drive down around the Washington Mall and things like that.
The biggest thing that comes to my mind is Flight Simulator, Microsoft Flight Simulator.
Okay, well, yeah, good point.
Well, some of the people that commented on this story...
I can pick Danley Field to fly out of.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Now, obviously, it's just... Here's a representation of a hangar and an airfield, but it doesn't exactly look like Danley Field. But if I get far enough up, I can see the Capitol. I can see, you know, the RSA Tower. All that stuff is there for me to look at
and
fly around it.
Yeah, and so, I mean, you know, apparently the message is that if you're a commercial developer making these things, you can be as realistic as you want to. If you're an individual and you make a map of your own area, then you're in trouble.
I realize their concern. I realize they're a bit edgy on that sort of thing, being that so soon. I understand that. However,
I don't understand it. I refuse to, like... even be a little understanding about that.
Well, because you're from that generation. You're from that. But you're not... The people in authority are not...
That's no excuse.
No, I mean...
You know?
Not a bit. Not a bit. Absolutely not. The entire school board should be fired, in my opinion. There's other schools around the country that actually use this as a learning tool, where the teachers help them, you know, actually make this map.
Right.
Quake 3 maps.
That's true, yeah.
They've completely failed in their duty as educators, and they should be removed. Even today, like I can't walk around at Alabama Shakespeare Festival, where I work now, without thinking about what a great deathmatch map that building would make. It is the most...
Because it's the most convoluted building.
It is. I mean, it essentially has secret passages everywhere.
Right.
There's... five different ways to get anywhere you want to go.
Right.
And
right.
for the longest time, when I first started working there, I only knew the longest way to get to the place where I had to be. And it would make an excellent
you just sit,
Quake 2 deathmatch.
You can just hide out in one of the light locks and, you know.
Yeah.
I'm not defending their actions. I'm just saying that I understand their concern. However,
I understand the thought process that leads them to this completely wrong conclusion.
The action they took against it, I do have a problem with.
Yeah.
I understand their thought process. My problem is their thought process is flawed and wrong.
Right.
And they should be made to understand that, and it should be removed. And replaced with somebody that actually has an idea of what education is about.
Yeah, I mean,
it's about this, this kind of thing right here.
My
problem with this is this was the knee-jerk reaction. Like, this was their immediate thought, was that he must be doing something wrong.
Yeah.
They took no time to really, no time, at least as far as we can tell from the article.
That's what I'm saying, I'd love to read more of this article.
Yeah, there was no consideration of, you know, what this kid's history was, what kind of a person is he, do they even know this kid before they kicked him out of school and the police came and arrested him.
Well, there you go.
You know, if he was, I mean, well, not, never mind. Actually, no, I don't want to think of, there are no, never mind, no circumstances.
Yeah.
I was trying to think of, you know, circumstances where this reaction might have been appropriate, but I can't.
No.
I don't want to.
Yeah. Well, you know, makes you wonder why Uwe Boll is not arrested yet. Did you see the opener for Postal?
No.
It's on YouTube out there. It's the opening scene of Postal.
Yeah.
What
is that coming out for?
I don't know.
Okay. What's the system?
No. It's a movie.
Oh, movie. Okay.
Uwe Boll.
Uwe Boll is the terrible, terrible director of video game movies.
Oh.
The one that decided to have a boxing match with some of his critics. Because, that makes his movies better.
Right. Okay.
The opening scene of Postal is a...
That's right. This is a game that's already been out.
I don't know if it's poking fun or what it is, but it's the plane going into the towers. But it's...
The guy has no taste whatsoever.
Wow. Yeah, exactly. There's like a guy washing the windows, and then all of a sudden you see this plane coming out from behind him, slower and slower. And he just looks over, and then boom.
Wow.
Right in there. But... No, we saw that as a teaser, and then this opening—it's about 5 minutes long, and it's the two guys sitting in the cockpit, and they're arguing over how many virgins they're going to get when they die, and then when they realize that it's not as many as what they hope for, all of a sudden the cockpit busts in with all the people in the back, and they're like, no, and they're all fighting, and they're like, no, we're changing course, we're going to the Bahamas, and then the next thing you see is that scene of that makes fun of it.
I tell you what, if you want to see a movie that handles both the video game concept and the concept of the World Trade Center attacks and the consequences in a very tasteful manner, go see Rain Over Me.
Yeah.
I wanted to see that. I never had a chance to.
Good movie. So, anyway, but I'm just saying, if this kid makes that and then this guy... Well, I don't know. It's obviously, it's different stuff, but still.
But, I mean, it's...
I don't think the media has yet gotten a hold of that whole postal thing. It's going to be interesting when they do.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, it's going to be fun when they do. Mm-hmm. I hate that man, by the way.
Not only does he destroy video game franchises with his terrible movies, but he also makes the video game community...
Because the media will take nothing from this, but this is a movie based on a video game.
Uh-huh. Right.
That's it. Yeah. So you'll think...
They'll use this to portray the rest of us.
Which, of course, that scene has nothing to do with the video game whatsoever.
Neither does Uwe Boll.
Exactly.
None of Uwe Boll's films had anything
to do with the game that they represented.
For those of us like me who are a little less informed on this guy, what else has he done?
Blood Rain.
Blood Rain.
Good God.
House of the Dead.
Okay.
Alone in the Dark.
Okay.
We're missing some other stuff, and not that we need
of it we've blocked out.
Yeah, that's enough.
We just don't want to think about it.
IMDb, man.
What was his most recent failure?
Oh, goodness.
That he got raked over the coals for.
I want to say Alone in the Dark, but...
It was like, didn't he make it? He made a movie, I can't remember what it's called anyway. I don't remember. So anyway, this will be his next one, obviously. But but moving on from there, speaking of movies and things like that, there's plenty of little news here, and I'm just going to give some quick hits here. The UK is getting Grindhouse split. Their release is split. It's being split into two different films.
Is that out of our theater yet?
I'll check, but I'm almost
it probably is this
probably
weekend.
Yeah.
Oh well.
Did anybody see the new Fantastic Four trailer? There was.
I haven't seen the new one. No.
Hey,
did they show the Fantastic Four in it?
Yeah, they do.
I don't want to see it.
I was so excited about the Silver Surfer.
That was good.
Just keep them out of it.
You know what?
What I really want to see is in about 10 years they're going to do a re-edit of this movie, and it's going to be like what they did with the second Highlander film, where they went back and took out all the garbage about them being aliens from outer space.
Yeah.
Except in this case, it'll just become a Silver Surfer movie.
Exactly, just all of his scenes.
Right.
The trailer. I watched it, and I watched it. And I thought, wow, that trailer. Keep in mind, watch my words here carefully.
Right.
That trailer looks really good. It doesn't, you know.
So did the Star Wars Episode 1 trailer. And as I recall, somebody edited down that film, so it was just pod race and lightsaber duel.
Yeah,
that'd be good.
It's that whole analogy of I can put some garnish around a piece of crap, and it's still a piece of crap you're looking at. So, but the trailer looked good. What else do we have here? Got the Grindhouse thing. That's out of the way here. Let's see. Gillian Anderson talked about an X-Files sequel.
Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard about that. An X-Files movie sequel, I think. But I thought she said she was going to be doing it.
Where are they going to go?
I don't know. She made mention of this in something. I'm trying to read over it here, but it does not really...
The same place they went for the entire run of the series. Absolutely nowhere.
Right.
I never watched X-Files, actually, so...
It's like, oh, Mulder has a sister somewhere.
There's a story about Gillian Anderson or David Duchovny or Chris Carter talking about the X-Files sequel every couple months for the past... however many years it's been since it came out.
I printed that out because I figured there'd people be interested in that, but apparently I didn't know the run of that.
It's been a couple months, so it was about time for them to talk about
it. What if this is the whole plan, is just to create sort of a conspiracy theory, essentially? it'd be great for the show, you know? Like, yeah. You've got this whole... never mind.
I don't know. You're talking to the wrong guy when you're talking about X-Files, because, again, I don't think I saw one single episode of that series when it was on. Not something I'm really worried about, though.
You shouldn't be.
I'm not. Let's see. Frank Miller is getting another adaptation. The Warner Brothers have picked it up, Ronin. I don't know if any of you guys have ever read Ronin. That actually was one of my favorite of Frank Miller stuff. I liked it better than I did Sin City for whatever reason, but Ronin. Good thing. It's about a samurai who travels in time. But good stuff.
Yeah, this is clearly not the movie that we remember with...
Not Robert De Niro.
Not the De Niro movie and with everyone else.
And what was that guy's name? The French dude.
Oh, Jean Reno.
Yes. Let's see. Hellboy 2 is getting a villain. I don't know what the villain is going to be. Oh, wait, no. Prince Nuada, who commands an army of deadly creatures. So there you go. Hellboy 2, apparently. I didn't even know that we were getting a sequel to Hellboy, but that works for me. Did you see the Iron Man costume?
No.
There you go. There's a picture of it.
That actually looks kind of like an Iron Man.
No, man. The reaction to that costume, the reaction to the picture that released, that picture you're looking at right there, was probably the best I've ever seen for a comic book costume reaction.
Well, I mean, they're not turning it into black leather, so that's a good thing. And
some people had a problem with Spider-Man, obviously, because they're, you know, oh, his eyes aren't big enough or blah, blah, blah. There's little details here and there about what Spider-Man's costume. Some people have had problems with Batman's costume, but then again, they put nipples on it, so that's a problem.
Well, that was later.
Yeah.
Some people have had problems with Transformers not actually looking like Transformers.
Well, there's that. Yeah, there's also...
Yeah,
there's
who
also
was that too.
There's a lot of people than just him. But the Iron Man costume, almost there has not been a single negative, hardly a negative thing said about that costume.
It looks pretty good.
It is a nice looking costume.
There are some pictures out that somebody took.
I mean, I'd wear it.
Yeah.
Offset of it moving around and stuff. And it's got great movement. There's actually a guy in the suit.
So it's not, that's another good thing. They're not doing... I mean, I'm sure they'll be doing some CG.
There'll be some CG with it, but still, they've actually built whatever that suit right there.
They made an Iron Man,
and it works. So, played it many a time on Guitar Hero.
Yes.
Does anybody watch Lost?
Nope.
No.
Nope.
I watched that one time. I came over to your house, and that was enough for me.
Really?
Yeah.
When was that? I don't remember that. I don't remember when he came over and watched it.
Now, beyond this room,
it
lots
was
of
the
people
time,
watch Lost.
Yeah, exactly.
It was the time that you couldn't get the HD episode for some reason. You wound up watching the standard definition version.
Oh, no.
E! Online says that ABC seems to be getting ready to announce these things. Lost will end in 2009. Following the game-changing May 23rd season finale, there'll be a seven-month hiatus before new episodes return in 2008. And the series is going to get an earlier time slot. So we'll know by May 15th. That's when they're going to announce all this stuff, possibly, if it's going to be. Yes, party over here. That's when Dana's like, eh. But
let it end.
Yeah, Lost will end in 2009.
Things, you know, you can't... How long can they be lost, I suppose?
Well, you know, some things... I haven't watched this past week's episode, so I'm not sure what came of it. The final things in the week before last's episode was they found some woman. She parachuted out of a plane. And so when they revived her, Hurley's sitting there asking her about whatever, their flight. Did you come here to rescue us? That sort of thing. She's like, no. They already found your flight. Everybody on that flight was dead. You know?
So supposedly no one's looking for them, and...
Well, that one of the theories that ever that came up earlier on the season was that the island that they're on is purgatory.
I think they said the producers have denied that.
Well, they can deny all they want. They can always go back to it. It doesn't matter. So there's something like that. Apparently a game-changing reveal on the May 23rd season finale, if anybody's interested in that. Final bit of movie news here is that Die Hard 4, Bruce Willis kind of got in a little bit of... he was very disappointed that the fourth Die Hard film is going to get cut to get a PG-13 rating rather than an R. He says he really wanted this one to live up to the promise of the first one, which he always felt was the only really good one. It's a studio decision, he says, that is becoming more and more common because they're trying to reach a broader audience. It seems almost a courageous move to give a picture an R rating these days, but we still made a pretty hardcore Smash Mouth film. So says Bruce.
Does anybody here even pay attention to the ratings?
I do, on some things.
I'm old enough to see all of them.
Well, not in that sense. I pay attention to them in the fact that here comes a movie that I feel like, oh, this would benefit from an R rating in the fact that they could get away with more, but they're cutting it to a PG-13 because they want a broader audience.
Right.
Just exactly what he said.
Right.
Yeah. And I hate when they do that. I know
On the other hand, if something like Spider-Man came out with an R rating,
that would be bad.
That would also cause ears to kind of perk up and be like, why would that be?
Spider-Man doesn't need an R rating.
I mean, that wouldn't serve the story at all.
Works both ways. You can use ratings as a gauge to tell whether they're treating the concept properly or not.
Right, and I mean, in this case, I think I would agree with Willis that, you know, Die Hard should probably be an R-rated movie. I don't know, just from what I mean, from what I've seen.
Yeah. Transformers.
Just to deal with the sort of things that you're going to be dealing with, you know, guys stepping on broken glass in his bare feet and shooting all kinds of people.
Yippee-ki-yay-MF.
Yeah,
you know?
I kind of want that to be an R-rated movie. I don't know if I want, you know, all the 12 and 13-year-olds. Maybe not. I don't know.
Yeah, they still get in there. It doesn't really matter.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So, I mean, it really doesn't matter.
There was something that came out a while back about Transformers being... There was something, and then Spielberg talked to him and got him to switch it to something else. I can't remember what it was, but...
It got rated R.
It got an R rating.
For violence.
Right.
And Spielberg went to him and was like, guys...
It's robots.
It's robot giant violence. Robots blowing each other up. It's or tanks blowing up robots. It's not... This isn't people.
Yeah.
And they basically relented and were like, yeah, right.
Are we going to have to get into a Blade Runner discussion here of what makes a person, you know? Are the Autobots less of individuals just because they're not made of carbon and water and...
Only in this movie.
Never mind.
There's this button that turns off his mic.
Depends on whether you're a fan of the comics or the cartoon, I suppose.
Right.
Final little bit of movie news here is Monster Squad's going to be on DVD July 24th. I haven't seen that film in a long time.
Neither have I. That's really good news.
It is. That was a great film that I remember. However, I know some of these things just
a lot of fun then.
Just don't stand up to time, and this might be one of them, but I don't know. So there we go. That's it on the movie news. We're going to take a quick break here. When we come back, we're going to talk all things Xbox 360 because a bunch of people... involved with in-game chat, involved with mouselook.com, picked up Xbox 360s this week. And we're going to talk to Jeremy, who got one as well. Kevin, hopefully you'll hear this. Give us a call. We want to talk to you about your experience with it, because I know you're primarily a PC gamer. So call in and talk to Zilla there, and we'll get you on the air as well and talk about your 360 experience. Coming up next, right here on in-game chat on 1170 WACV. Yeah, that was when you pressed the start button, wasn't it?
No, it's just regular punches.
Oh, okay. Wasn't sure, because I know when you did the start button, it did something. I'm going to get you to make a sound effect every single episode. I already got you doing the Xbox thing, and then we did something the other day. I don't remember, the last week, I don't remember what it was. I was like, I gotta have that on. I gotta have that as a little pod thing or whatever.
Is this from the first? Is this the first fight or is it later?
Any of them?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I thought it changed for some reason.
No, this is during the bike ride, isn't it?
No, this is the fight itself.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
I didn't think they had music during the fight.
Oh, yes, they did.
Yeah. I'll have to go back to it.
Huh.
It was released on the Virtual Console as Nintendo's Punch-Out, I think is what it was.
Right.
They dropped the whole Mike Tyson thing.
Well, they did that back in the NES days,
yeah.
Actually.
Yeah, there were two versions, yeah.
When it was re-released, they didn't. They had lost the rights to use Mike Tyson.
I've still got
and it wasn't long after that that using Mike Tyson's name probably became a lot less of a good idea.
Yeah, not long after Mike Tyson's Punch-Out was released, I think Buster Douglas kicked the crap out of him.
Well,
and
not only that, but the entire
yeah, before the whole like harassment things yeah. and the
that was
the
a little
ear
bit
thing
later.
And that well, that was yeah, the ear thing was much later.
Because I remember back then they were going to have Mike Tyson referee a match between Hulk Hogan and somebody on the WWF, and then when
wait, can you say that anymore?
Yeah, I can.
Yeah.
And then yeah, he lost the title, so they replaced him with Buster Douglas, and I was like, who's Buster Douglas? Mike Tyson's on my video game. I don't know this Buster Douglas guy. Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, so anyway. I've still got the Mike Tyson version. I've still got that cartridge. I'm trying to remember. There was
I've
used
got
to be
one
a,
of the two of them. I can't remember which.
I've got both of them.
Oh, cool.
I know that surprises you.
Yes, of course. Moving on. Excuse me. We've got lots of people here who picked up 360s lately, and I don't know that Kevin... He hasn't called in. He should have heard the shout-out to call in right now, but he hasn't heard that.
Well,
so.
Sometimes he records and doesn't listen.
And so. Then he probably... Wait a second. I can check my friends list on Xbox.com.
See what he's playing?
And see if he's doing anything.
Ah.
Let's see. Let's check it real quick and see what he's doing. Maybe he's playing. He's not even online, but... Wait a second. The wife is.
What's she playing?
She's just at the dashboard.
Ah.
So I'll send her a quick message.
Tell Kevin to call in.
No, I'm going to exactly do that. By the way, how do you like your 360 there?
I love it. I should have done it earlier. I'm playing games with my friends again. We've co-opted Rainbow Six Vegas, and it's a lot like being back in 1999 when we used to get all our computers together and go through missions as a team and, you know, take out the terrorists or the Nazis or whoever it was we were up against.
Back in the day.
And it requires a lot less effort to make work. So I've been extremely happy with it. And there's all that weird stuff on Xbox Live Arcade.
Well, you know, you and I had a situation the other day.
We did have an issue.
We kept... We were playing R6 Vegas, and things were going great. And then Jeremy jumped in, and I couldn't hear him talk.
Hmm.
Everybody else could hear him, and I couldn't hear him. You couldn't hear me either.
And I couldn't hear you.
So we couldn't hear each other, and we were having some really bad problems with the game and that sort of thing.
It eventually worked out that anytime I'd connect to a game that Scott was on, I couldn't play.
Right.
It's got a black screen.
They were doing a co-op thing with the four of them, and then I'd jump in, and all of a sudden, problems again, and I'm thinking, what's going on? So anyway, we found it out, and we found out what was wrong, and I had to make some changes on my end. I don't know. I guess it was all on my end. I don't know. Yeah. It was all on my end.
Wasn't.
Man, it's a lot of technical stuff, but...
Basically, his IP address changed on his router
for
his Xbox 360, and he had set it up to forward all that stuff to an IP that no longer belonged to the Xbox.
And so there were just some problems. I could play with everybody else. I had no problem.
Yeah.
Connecting with everybody else and having a lag-free, fun time. But with
Not
you,
me.
We had a problem.
Yeah.
So,
by the way, I actually had a dream last night that your IP changed again, and we couldn't play. I was getting black screens.
Nightmare scenario if there ever was one.
I'm glad that was involved in gaming.
Yeah.
Not just, I had a dream about you last
right.
night. That you're, but so we got that fixed, and now we played together. We went out, we played Uno, which I know you're starting out. There's your basic stuff right there, Uno. Uno is fun.
It is.
Uno's always been
fun. It's a lot of
fun
to play Uno online.
Yes.
You hardly ever play it actually outside of, you know, that sort of thing. I'd love, you know, some of the games that I want to see Arcade to do is a lot of those board games. I know they got the Catan in there.
Settlers Catan.
Yeah. I want to see Scrabble on Xbox Live Arcade.
Yeah.
Scrabble. I want Kinect 4.
How much are they charging for those usually?
Uno, I don't know how much Uno is. 400? I think Uno is 4.
Which is like $4?
$5.
$5.
Okay.
400 points.
100 points is $1.25.
Okay.
Yeah, it's confusing.
Yeah, it is.
But you basically can kind of round up. If it's 800 points, it's $10.
So it's like euros.
If it's 16, well, not anymore, but it's $20.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So, you know, there's that Monopoly I'd like to see.
Yeah.
Those games will take forever. There were some other ones that we, in fact, there was a whole thread on Evil Avatar that we did where it was like, what kind of classic games would you like to see on there? And of course, that thread got, does anybody remember, what was it, Fireball Island?
Yes, Fireball Island.
It's an old board game, but it was one of those gimmick board games.
Yeah, where you have to go grab the gem and... Yeah. Take it down without getting, you know, fireball spit at you.
Yeah, it was a mousetrap game, basically. It was the gimmick. I never played Mousetrap. I just opened it up, built it, and
right,
everything.
Yeah, you
happened.
Never actually played the game.
Yeah.
Because half the time the machine didn't work anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
So I go through the trouble.
But then they've got awesome stuff like they've got revamped old games, like the Ninja Turtles arcade game.
Yeah. Symphony of the Night.
Symphony of the Night. Centipede and Geometry Millitude. Wars is awesome.
Geometry Wars is not really a revamped anything. Do you really like that game?
I love Geometry Wars.
It's intimidating. I look at it to play, and I'm like, well, let's see. I'm about to go to bed because I don't want to play this. It'll get me too worked up. Am I ready to have a headache? Am I ready to get frustrated?
And then there's that space station simulation.
I liked. I enjoyed that. Outpost, and I'm going to mess up the last name, but Outpost Kaloki or something like that. I'm not sure. But there's a lot of arcade games. A lot of arcade games appeal to those casual gamers. You've got Uno. You've got Backgammon, which I've seen you play.
Yeah. I love Backgammon.
Oh, Backgammon.
I haven't played Backgammon since I was a kid.
I don't know how to play Backgammon.
Oh, it's not Backgammon. Hard.
So you got Backgammon, you've got hearts, spades, pool, just, you know, pool
I'm
stuff.
Hoping there's a chess, too. There's got to be a chess.
Interesting. There is...
battle chess?
No. When you buy the camera, there's a little insert that comes with it. And it shows you, enjoy your camera. Well, there's a few screenshots of the camera working with Texas Hold'em Poker, which it does not work with right now. It never has worked with it.
But maybe...
But there's a picture of, you know, it working with Texas Hold'em Poker. Then there's a picture of a chess game going on between two people on Xbox Live. Mm-hmm. That game still haven't seen.
Wow.
So
I would think that would be like the first thing they would do for just...
I would love to see it. I don't know why. But chess, I'm sure it's coming. I'm sure it's...
Yeah,
sure
I mean, it's not a hard game. You know, I'm pretty sure I wrote a chess program in some computer science class in the past.
But, so of course, you're getting Double Dragon is coming out. We've got Pac-Man, Miss Pac-Man. You get your retros and stuff like that. So lots of good things. Lots of good things from...
So you don't have to go out and buy the Namco Museum discs anymore.
No, you don't have to. From Xbox Live Arcade. Okay.
Although, we picked up the Live Arcade disc used for $18, and it had 6 games on it and a bunch of demos,
which is cheaper than you get.
A lot cheaper than
downloading.
And also, if you ever end up getting a different Xbox console,
you don't have to go through that whole rigmarole
without logging into your.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, how are you guys working out with that? Because Zilla and Fishbang, they got the Elite and they did the whole data transfer thing. So how is that working out?
Well, we already figured out what it would affect, and pretty much it affects I can't play poker. And oddly enough, apparently it thinks I downloaded Castlevania.
Oops.
I didn't. I guess it's possible that he was
but
on
it was
my
done
account
under yours, yeah.
when he
Must
downloaded
have been.
It, but unlikely because it automatically signs into his account.
Huh.
So he would have to have... deliberately sign into my account and then downloaded Castlevania. So we think there's some sort of glitch with that. So I can play Castlevania.
Right, and you can get all the achievements.
And neither of us have the desire to do.
Yeah, it switched. It did the whole Freaky Friday thing on you.
Yeah, Freaky Friday and the Xbox. But now I have the freedom to download more arcade games.
Or the more updated version called Vice Versa.
That we won't be able to play them. So that's nice.
Yeah. But so far, really, other than that, there's really no other problems that you're having with it.
No,
it was
great.
Just, yeah.
It's black.
You're still able to play with... yes, it is. You're still able to play Luxor and everything else, right?
Yeah, all the other stuff I got.
Cool. What have you... you know, you going from PCs. Oh, we're trying to get Kevin to call in. Apparently, he's not gonna. But what do you feel coming from the PC world of things? I mean, what do you like? What do you not like?
I like playing games with my friends.
Well, there you go. Really.
I mean, really, that kind of wraps it up. I haven't felt this good playing a game since 1999, and that pretty much says it all, man. It's taken 8 years for me to have this much fun again, and I'm so happy playing my 360. I can't believe it. I honestly had no idea it was going to be this much fun. I would have done it.
Really? You'd have done it sooner?
Yeah.
I'd have never been able to convince you.
No, you couldn't have. It would have been impossible.
Yeah. So you would have done it before paying more than what you paid for it? If you had to go out and buy a new one. If you know now, if you'd known then what you know now, would you have paid full price for a brand new 360?
I don't think I could afford it right now, paying full price for one, still.
Okay, yeah.
I probably would have worked really hard to convince Becky to sell the Wii in order to fit the
Really?
Bill. Yeah.
Wow. That's a big statement for me.
Not that she would have gone for it, but...
Yeah, that's a big statement from you, though. That's pretty huge. Kevin is not going to be calling in.
Okay.
He replied, and he's like, he's not really... I don't even know if he wants me to say this. He'll probably get upset with me. He's not really up to being on the air tonight. He says he's really tired, and he's not in the mood to censor himself.
That's fine. Yeah,
he'll let fly with those words, and so just in casual, not out of anger, just his normal speak. It's Kevin speak, you know? He did get a cam, though. Did you get the picture? Did you guys get the picture?
It puked out on me and wouldn't let me see it. Huh. I only tried it the one time, though. I'll look again tonight.
Give it another shot, because I got it. So, but yeah, there's the cam, of course. He picked up the cam because you can put your face in Rainbow Six. Which, have you seen my face yet?
No.
Well, no, because we can't play together.
We can now.
We can now, so we got to get back in there so you can see my face. I was able to map my face to one of the characters in the guy I play in Rainbow Six. And the first time I did it, you know, I'm all like, serious, whatever. The second time, I'm just like, let's see what all this thing can do. And I put a big grin on my face. So my guy's walking around with a constant smile.
That's great.
Not an evil smile. It's not evil. Right. It's just, it looks evil, obviously.
Does
on the guy
how does the mouth movement still work?
The mouth movement doesn't work when you map a character face. However,
I guess it wouldn't be able to because it doesn't have a model anymore.
Yeah, it doesn't.
Yeah.
But still.
I like that.
Trust me, wait till you see my face. Wait till you're walking around and I pop around the corner and shoot you, you know, in a death match or whatever.
They need to give you the option to draw where your mouth is. Just make a slit right there and it can map it that way.
But
the
South Park way of talking?
Right.
That is so much fun. The four of us.
The eyes look like a Monty Python cartoon.
It was me and Fishbang and Hoggy and Bullet Food. The same four guys that in 1999 were playing Hidden and Dangerous together. all sitting in the helicopter, like flown over to the first mission in Rainbow Six Vegas. And, like, looking around the helicopter, and every time one of them talks over the headset, mouth is moving. It's like you're sitting there with these four guys, and they're talking, and they start laughing, and their mouths are opening, and laughing. It's like, it's so great.
These are words I never thought I'd hear him say about the Xbox 360, you know?
The aiming, I'm getting used to it, and it'll never be as precise as the mouse, and... But I'm having so much fun that I don't feel the frustration.
Oh, it's well worth the trade-off.
To aim well. But you can tell the AI is a little... It compensates, you know, for you not being able to... That you don't get instantly killed for poking your head out before you have a chance to draw a bead on somebody, which is what would happen in Hidden and Dangerous, you know, if you tried to put that on a controller. You had to be pixel precise. You don't have to be pixel precise in these games.
No.
So, yeah, it works. So.
Well, I'm glad you've enjoyed it. And how's Becky liking it? Space Angel.
Well, what was it? Kevin told me something about, hey, Strax, you ought to think about picking up that VGA cable so there's not an issue with sharing your TV. You can play it on your monitor. I'm like, man, there's no issue with sharing the TV. There's an issue with sharing the 360.
Right.
You know.
Does she really have that big of a desire to get on there?
Yeah. She was fighting me off to play Viva Pinata and then fighting me off to play...
She must be at work right now because she's not online.
Well, she's got family over.
That never stopped me.
But Yeah, she wanted to try something different, something new, and so she ended up playing the space station game, you know, and you saw her online playing that, and so yeah, finally, okay, it's my turn. I'm gonna play Crackdown now.
Yeah,
fine. So you know, we're having to fight each other off of the 360. We've got two 27-inch TVs. That's not an issue. We can.
You just don't have two 360s, is what.
We don't have two 360s, and that's what I was worried would happen. Is you know,
never should have let her play Viva Pinata then. never should have done that. Well, we got to take a quick break here, and when we come back, we'll get more of your thoughts here on the Xbox 360, and we'll be right back with more on In Game Chat on 1170 WACV. And welcome back to In Game Chat. This is our final segment of the show. And what was I going to say? I've completely forgot what I was going to say. But anyway... so welcome back, and yeah, wish I could rewind that part of my life. We're still talking about the Xbox 360, even though you hear Mega Man music in the back, which...
which level is that from?
Cutman?
Fireman.
Was it Fire?
Yes.
I don't know.
You sure? I knew you would remember.
Yes. Are you positive? Are you really sure?
Yes, he's sure.
I challenge you. No, so we're talking about the Xbox 360, and so we mentioned R6 Vegas. We're going to probably do some Gras tonight or something. Let's move on to Crackdown.
Man.
The game that shall not be named, but now it has to be.
Well, it has to be, because we've got more people playing it now.
I am so sad that I'm not playing Crackdown right now. All day at work today, I was really sad that I wasn't playing Crackdown right then.
I'm glad that it's infected you like that.
I love Crackdown.
I'm really glad it's infected you.
What a great
you,
game. Though. Man, who needs GTA 4 when I've got Crackdown?
No kidding.
Wow. Yeah, really. Seriously. Truly. I'm telling you,
we said this whenever we saw the GTA 4 trailer. I was telling, you know, I told you guys, I was like, you know, every time I saw a building, I was like, I wonder if I can climb that building.
What a fantastic game. You can do so much more than you can in GTA, and your character doesn't have a voice. Yeah. It's so great. You know, after the third one, you know, they started doing that, and I wasn't able to.
Oh, it's so lax about your character, you can switch your character in the middle of the game.
Just change your character model.
Your stats say the same, but you can pick any other guy you want to. But yeah, Crackdown is a lot of fun, and now you guys know why I talked about it the way I did.
So good.
So, I'm glad you picked it up, and we did some co-op stuff the other day. And the great thing about that was is that I'm way ahead of the game, obviously, than he is. He's, you know, low on the totem pole there. So I could take all these advanced weapons that I had and play, and anytime I dropped my weapons, he could pick them up, and boom, he's got those weapons now. He's acquired them. So I went ahead and I gave him the heavy hitters. Excuse me, I drank water, and now I'm just blip, blip, blip. I gave him all the heavy hitters because, you know, the rocket launcher, the sniper rifle. What else did I give you?
The big machine gun.
Yeah, the 800 round machine gun there. So I gave him that one, and good things that you need to have, especially when you're low in the game and that sort of thing. So lots of fun, and you know, I know you want to get back into it as soon as possible.
Man, like 10 more minutes.
I can go home and play more Crackdown.
Go home and hopefully play some Crackdown because we've got company. I don't know how well that's going to work out, but man,
just walk in and sigh. And maybe that'll be like, oh, he wants to play. But yeah, so lots of stuff. Have you downloaded anything other than the arcade games? Have you downloaded any?
Just free stuff.
Yeah, like what?
I'm not paid for anything. The 35th anniversary Uno theme. Oh, and I downloaded Uno because you gave me a free code to download it.
Right,
because
I had. See, I already thought you guys had the game. So I used my...
He's got a dirty look from Zella in the booth. Well,
I felt bad about it because I was like, oh, crap, you know? Because I thought they already had the Uno game. I didn't know. But yeah, so when I bought the camera, it comes with a free game. And I had already had Uno on the system. So I was like, ooh, try this. And so he downloaded Uno and we played Uno together. And
every time I insert a game, I have to download a patch, which only takes like a few seconds.
Yeah, because a lot of the games that you're getting into now have already
been out for a while.
They've been out for a while and been updated.
Downloaded that pack for Crackdown.
Well, now that's like game content stuff. What about, like, have you downloaded any video game trailers or anything like that? Have you downloaded?
Nothing like that.
Yeah, okay. I was just kind of Gears.
If you man, download. I got too much stuff to play. I don't have time to be watching trailers. This ain't a cutscene.
Press A.
Yeah, exactly. I was just curious if you'd done any of that, or if you'd explored the video marketplace or anything like that. You know, looked around. No, I'm just trying to get your impression of the other features of the 360, other than just the game playing part of things.
I'm really excited about the live arcade.
Yeah.
But I really don't care about the videos in the list. I haven't even thought about them being there. I think I've noticed the option there a couple of times and immediately moved on to the next thing.
And it is it's that time of the show where we go around the room and find out what you guys are going to be doing this weekend with your gaming experiences. John, we'll start with you. You're going out of town.
Well, yeah, the weekend I'm going to be gone, but during the next week or so, I'm going to be, getting in some Zelda as much as I can.
Yeah.
And checking out this rental of the Elebits and seeing if it's totally annoying for me or if I might have fun with it.
I wasn't happy with Elebits. Zelda, what are you doing this weekend? Working?
Not playing Uno, thanks to you.
Yeah.
Oh.
No. Snap. I don't know. I've got...
Yeah, look how that works.
No voice for you.
I'll give you the sigh.
No, no, no. What are you going to be doing? I'm sorry. I won't touch it. You'll see my hands here.
Now I lost my train of thought.
Luxor?
Some more.
Yeah.
I started Dead Rising a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, when am I going to get that game back?
Never.
Because I've still got to finish my 72-hour run and pick up the Mega Man gun.
Well, James quit. He decided not to keep on with it, so I started it. Yes. And I did a lot of table tennis last week.
Oh, I saw you playing that. Yeah.
Yeah.
You borrowed Rockstar's table tennis from me, and I saw you playing that. I was like, I wonder if she's really liking that game.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I mean, people ask how it is, and I'm like, That's what it is. It's table tennis.
It is table tennis all the way. But I really enjoyed playing table tennis.
Right.
So Luxor 2, table tennis, Dead Rising for you. Dennis, what are you doing?
Not much. Probably some Resident Evil 4. Might try to see Spider-Man 3. That's about it.
Yeah, definitely. Strax, you. Does it need to be said?
All of it. I have so much stuff I want to play. Crackdown on top of the list.
Yeah.
Anytime you guys get together and want to play Vegas or Grawl,
love to do co-op with you on Crackdown.
Yeah.
You know, that's always a lot of fun. I feel a little bit bad because I'm like, I don't want to be stealing
I
your...
I want to play some Uno. I want to play the little space station simulator.
Yeah, I want to get us all to play in Uno. I'd love to get us, all of a sudden...
Want to get some achievements?
My problem with Uno is that people can just jump in and jump out of that game as at their leisure.
Yeah, that's a bit of a problem. That wasn't too fun.
That was not fun the other
day. Hey, man, look at my 9! You see my 9? Look at my 9!
There was a guy with a camera. He jumped in, and the first scene you see is this guy holding a shotgun in the back of the room, and I'm like, whoa, what do we have here? And
it's
then
get into some interesting things with the cameras.
And then this camera's moving around, and you've got like a ton of people in there, and this guy's with a shotgun, and the other guy's like, "Oh, look at my 9! Look at my 9! What I got?
You see my 9?" And Scott's like, "I just see a guy."
Yeah, I'm like, "It's your turn, man. You gonna play?"
And then he finally goes.
And then he finally left. Thank God for that.
Well, yeah, finally it got to be my turn.
So is there?
But at this point, I was so distracted, I didn't realize it was my turn. So I was just sitting there, kind of watching all this unfold, and then I realize it's my turn. I was like, "Oh." So I start to, select my card, and the guy's like, "You lagged, man!" and signs off. I'm like, oh, well, if I'd known that's all I had to do was not play, he'd go away. I would have done that, a few hands ago.
Is there any way to restrict your room so that random people can't join the game?
I need to look more into it, but I don't think
because
there is.
Because that would be,
that's a big deal.
It is a big deal.
It would be a nice thing. I mean, especially, As usually anti-restriction of things as I am, that's not
trust
a good
me. That's
thing.
What I need. but as far as me this weekend, I will play. Anytime we're on, I'm going to be playing with you guys. But I've also got God of War 2 I want to finish up with. I bought Spider-Man 3. I want to see that movie this weekend. Lots of gaming stuff going on this weekend. I already finished up my Guitar Hero 2 on the medium career. Went ahead and got through with that. 5-starred all of it.
But not gold stars, right?
No, I'm going through the easy part gold. I'm going to try and get gold star on everything in the easy mode. But medium, no.
Gold stars are hard.
Oh, boy. Oh, she's giving me the subtle finger. The, oh, I've got an itch on my forehead, but I will use my middle finger to scratch it with. So anyway, that's what I'll be doing this weekend and that sort of thing. So, yeah, lots of fun stuff. But anyway, we're gonna wrap this up. Any final thoughts? Anybody got anything left to say? I know this is almost your last show, isn't it, John?
It is. Next week probably will be my last.
Next week will be your send-off.
My last time in the studio anyway, at least for a while.
Yeah.
A long
All right,
while,
man.
Probably.
Well, we want to thank everybody for listening. Don't forget to tune in to Phil's show, Evil Avatar Radio, coming up. You can head over to evilavatar.com or mouselink.com. There's links to go there and listen to the show. He's coming up next. For those of you who are not going to listen to that, you got Greg's replay coming up here next in a bit. And I want to thank everybody for listening, for all the support that we get, and for all the new listeners as well. Thank you for sticking in with it as well. This is episode 14.